And remember, tomorrow really does matter, and I'm glad that you're listening. Thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon.
Oh, when you come crash into me.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Outrageous. I don't know. It's supposedly, what, the worst it's ever been?
Whether to hit the road this weekend, it's a question facing many would-be holiday travelers with gas prices so high.
Many drivers say they'll grin and bear it at the gas pump to travel this holiday weekend.
You got to do what you got to do and just have to pay the price.
We're going. But Jeannie McNerney's family is not among them.
No, not at all. We're not going to do anything except stay at home. Yeah, it's just too expensive to go running around. We really plan our trips right now very carefully.
The average price per gallon of gas here, about $3.43. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
There was reportedly intelligence ahead of the Iraq invasion that Al-Qaeda would use an invasion by the U.S. to step up its operations. Government analysis also indicates that Iran would step up its influence in post-Saddam Iraq. Radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr surfaced today south of Baghdad. The U.S. military has claimed he's been in Iran lately, and there's a lot of speculation as to why he surfaced now.
It's very interesting, the timing. Just a few days before the U.S. and Iran have some discussions, given where we believe he has been for at least the last several months.
Brigadier General Vincent Brooks in Baghdad. President Bush is expected to sign the Iraq War Funding Bill without any ceremony. It is being delivered to Camp David, where he's spending part of the Memorial Day weekend.
We said a good bill that didn't have timetables or tell the military how to do its job, but also sent a clear signal to the Iraqis that there's expectations here in America, expectations that we expect about how to move forward.
A special prosecutor says he believes former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby deserves 3 years in prison. Patrick Fitzgerald says Libby has shown no remorse. Libby was convicted in March of lying to investigators about what he told reporters in the Valerie Plame case. She was the exposed CIA agent. The smoke from those southern wildfires has now drifted westward, blanketing the state of Mississippi in smoke. Reporter Pete Combs found the air no better closer to the fires.
As you drive through Georgia and Alabama on the way to Florida this holiday weekend, all you have to do is this. And you can smell the wildfires along the Georgia-Florida border. Okaloosa County Commissioner Don Emmons admits the smoke can be a problem.
We're not having any problems out there near the water as much as we are inland.
Emmons says offshore winds push the smoke away from the coast. Once you get here, he says, that smoke from a distant fire will be just a distant memory. Pete Combs, CBS News, Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Flooding in central Texas has claimed 5 lives, and Governor Perry has authorized deployment of the National Guard. Dennis Baker of Bell County Emergency Management says more heavy rain should hit the area Saturday night.
We have crews, road and bridge crews, street crews from the city, prepared to barricade those places that become impassable due to high water.
This is CBS News.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Begone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Begone Max. Follow directions on label.
Want to tone up for the summer? A new study claims the thinner you are, the easier it is. Life's just not fair.
The research suggests the fatter you are, the tougher it is to lose it by exercising. That the more you weigh, the less effect weight training has for you. University of Connecticut research putting hundreds of volunteers through workouts, the obese gaining 4 to 17% less muscle than people of a normal weight. Now that said, the researchers do say the differences are not so great that you ought to give up. If you're overweight, keep lifting weights. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
The government says alcohol-related deaths have risen to their highest level in 14 years involving crashes. Overall crash deaths have dropped, but just slightly, and in more than half of those cases, the victims were not wearing seatbelts.
Buckling up is the single most effective way to protect yourself when you're in a car.
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters, New Jersey Governor John Corzine, who was recently injured in a crash while not wearing a belt, has just come out with public service announcements urging his residents not to make the same mistake. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Your name means a lot to you, but in the wrong hands, it can mean more to someone else. With Wachovia, if your identity is ever stolen, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to help recover any lost funds. And they'll stick with you until your identity is restored. Protecting your good name. Another feature of Wachovia Free Checking. Stop by, call 800-WACHOVIA or visit Wachovia.com. Are you with Wachovia?
Free Checking is for personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. members FDIC.
And now, Orkin and the Carpenter Ants.
She moved into her new house, put out a garden gnome. How was she to know that 50,000 called it home? She saw that first big ant as she stepped right through the floor. In a matter of months, her deck was no more. Well, it's a 3x2x50,000 Carpenter Ant Ranch.
For Carpenter Ant protection that performs, call 1-800-ORKINMAN or visit Orkin.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. Please give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive voice from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. Here's Tony Truppiano.
Sitting in the morning sun.
I wish I was sitting in the morning sun, sitting at the dock of the bay, man. That'd be awesome. Instead, I'm sitting in a studio, in my humble studio here in Detroit, Michigan. Peter B. off for a few days. I'm more than happy and beyond honored to be sitting in for Peter as we get ready to enjoy a long Memorial Day weekend. I'll be with you today. I'll be with you on Tuesday. Peter, we joined you next Wednesday, and we've got a lot to get to as we work our way through the day today. I will tell you this. Coming off the show yesterday, I was beyond moved by some of the guests that we had on yesterday, most particularly Mike Lux from Progressive Strategies, who was profoundly disappointed by the Democratic leadership yesterday in the Iraq supplemental. And during the show, towards the end of the show, the Senate, of course, voted as well and voted in favor of the Iraq supplemental. Only 14 senators voting against it. So this idea that progressivism is taking hold may be true around the country, but it's certainly not true inside the Beltway. And I think for a lot of people, that was quite distressing. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit later on in this hour. I do want to remind you, if you want to join us at any time throughout the Peter B. Collins Show, it's fairly simple to do that. You pick up the phone and you use this toll-free number, 888-573-8372. That's 888-573-8372. Or you can send me an email if you'd like to make a comment that way, tony@thetonyshow.com. And let us turn our attention to our first guest. Joining me now is Joe Stork. Joe is the Deputy Middle East Director at Human Rights Watch, and he joins us today to talk about a very disturbing story that I fear, like so many things that are happening around the globe, we just don't have enough time to give this its due. And I want to thank Katrina for pointing this out to me today. And first of all, Joe, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a pleasure to have you on today.
Glad to be with you.
You know, Joe, we should probably give people a little bit of background, which we'll get to in a second. But, you know, this is one of those stories, as I was reading the background, and I think about the sanctity of human life. I think about even this upcoming Memorial Day holiday and what that means for a lot of families in this country. You know, we do need to be mindful that there are places in the world that are extremely dangerous just to get up in the morning.
Right. No, you're absolutely right about that.
Could you give the audience a little background as to what has been happening in Lebanon?
Well, in terms of the clashes earlier this week in northern Lebanon, it's a very localized situation, but it was a very deadly one for the people, 30 or 40,000 Palestinians who live in Nahr al-Barid camp up near Tripoli. The situation was that over the last year plus, first of all, sort of to step back just a second, the political rule in those camps was pretty much supplied by Palestinian groups, the PLO, and the constituent armed organizations like Fatah and Hamas and so forth. But as those groups have been somewhat paralyzed by events down in Palestine itself, sort of a vacuum has developed. That was accentuated particularly in northern Lebanon with the withdrawal of the Syrians in 2005 after the assassination of Rafiq Hariri. In this particular area, Syrian military intelligence had been pretty much running the show. So in that vacuum, this particular group, Fatah al-Islam, had emerged and developed and was basically running the camp, or at least being one of the more influential elements in that camp, basically imposing itself by force of arms. They had been also outside the camp robbing banks and things like that, which brought them to the attention of the Lebanese security forces. And it was a clash following a bank robbery last Sunday that chain reaction led to the situation where the army started actually lobbing artillery shells into the camp.
Yeah, and of course, inherent in that is the problem. These camps are quite crowded, I understand, Joe Stark.
Extremely dense, yes.
And I know we don't have a body count, and maybe that body count wouldn't matter to some. It matters profoundly to me.
We in fact don't know what the casualties are in terms of the casualties from the fighting over this last week. We have a rough idea. We do know the Lebanese authorities are saying that something like 27 of their soldiers were killed, somewhere around 20 or so of the Fatah al-Islam militants were killed, and that somewhere between, 15 and 50. I mean, we really don't have I haven't seen any kind of a reliable figure on this, Palestinian civilians were killed in the fight. Of course, many more were injured. And, that doesn't even begin to sort of give you an idea of the human suffering. I mean, this is a camp of, upwards of 40,000 people confined in an area of about a square kilometer, which isn't very big, a little over half a mile square, for days without water or electricity, which had been shut off probably by the Lebanese army as an effort to, persuade the Fatah al-Islam people to surrender.
Joe, how many of these camps are there?
There are about 400,000 or so registered Palestinian refugees living in camps in Lebanon. I think the number of camps is somewhere in the neighborhood of 13.
Wow, that in and of itself is a tragedy.
Well, yeah, and we're talking about a tragedy that goes back to 1948. So it's a tragedy that these people have been living for nearly 60 years, several generations.
And we wonder in this country why these behaviors repeat themselves. Joe Stork, it would seem to me that they know no more than this.
Well, no, I don't think that's... I would disagree with you there. Actually the situation... for Palestinians in Lebanon has been one of very deteriorating conditions over the last decade or so. I mean, let's recall that back up in the 1970s, for instance, when the PLO had a very strong presence there, the situation was much better for Palestinians in terms of services, in terms of income, and on a number of levels. I mean, they never enjoyed. Palestinians in Lebanon have never enjoyed what they have had in other Arab countries where they have been refugees, like Jordan and Syria. They're not allowed to be citizens. Worse than that, they don't have work permits. They aren't allowed to own property. They don't have access to the health care and the education system, you know, of the country. Those kinds of services, to the extent that they're available, are provided either by groups like Fatah and Hamas or by the UN. But those resources have been increasingly limited and increasingly restricted over the last number of years. So actually, it's a situation not so much of a, you know, cyclical thing where, oh, here we are again. It's really a situation that's been on a steady state decline, you might say, over the last number of years.
Sure. Now we spoke about what happened last Sunday. I know there's been some movement throughout the week. What do we know? As it's Friday, what's happening now?
The shelling went on for about 3 days through Tuesday evening. There was finally a ceasefire, which has more or less held until now, as far as I know, at least until earlier today. There has been some firing since then, but it hasn't really resumed in a steady, recurring, and heavy way. Since that ceasefire took hold late Tuesday, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15,000 of the Palestinian residents of the camp have left the camp, but that means there are upwards of 15,000, if not more, still in the camp. What we don't know is if those people are people who want to leave and can't for some reason, or if they're people who, in fact, have decided, you know, however horrible the situation is, they don't want to leave. We've heard some say, you know, look, I don't want to be a refugee again. I mean, if my refugee status that got me here, I'm not going to leave here for the unknown. So the fact is there are still thousands of civilians living in this densely packed area. Lebanese army has said, you know, you, Fatah al-Islam, have to give up. The Fatah al-Islam has said back to them, we're not going to give up. We'll keep the ceasefire, but if you come after us, we're going to fight to the death. That's a situation, and there's one other thing I should mention, which is, the army has been sort of on the outside, on the perimeter of the camp, lobbing in artillery and mortar shells. These are weapons that have very limited, you know, they can be aimed, but only within a certain range. When you're talking about firing artillery shells into an area where, you know, the sort of space between houses is a couple of yards only. You just have to be off by a little bit to from your target to cause some real unintended damage. So that's why we think this is a totally inappropriate we understand why the army is going after this group. They have a legitimate objective in going after this group, but going after them with artillery shells in a very crowded refugee camp is just not acceptable.
All right. Again, my guest is Joe Stork. He is the Deputy Middle East Director at Human Rights Watch. We do need to take a quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's more to get to on the other side. Again, if you want to join us, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Or you can comment via email at tony@thetonyshow.com. I am Tony Trupiano in for Peter B. Collins on this Friday. You'll want to stay with us. We'll be back right after this quick message.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Tony Truppiano back with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. It is 22 minutes after the hour, and I understand that we need to reconnect with our guest. As soon as we have him back, I will let you know. I've got to tell you, you know, reading, just doing some background on this story, and let me just, I'll read the text and we'll discuss it. It says, under principles of international humanitarian law, warring parties are prohibited from using means and methods of attack that cannot discriminate between civilians and combatants, including indiscriminate shelling, nor may they carry out attacks that are expected to cause loss of civilian life that is disproportionate to expected military gain. And if you're following what's really going on here, they blindly shelled this camp that has a very dense population in a half a mile square, if you will, 40,000 people, to catch four people? How much sense does that make? And, you know, these are the kind of things that often just confound me, that we have, like, we don't have enough to worry about. Like, people around the world don't have enough to worry about, that these kind of laws are broken, this disrespect for human life, this lack of human dignity goes on this way. And, you know, again, as Joe Stork so ably said, you know, the Army had, you know, reason to do this. It's the methodology, if you will, that's the problem. Joe Stork is back with us from Human Rights Watch. Joe, I was just mentioning the international humanitarian laws, the rules by which they can engage in these kinds of situations. Those rules were obviously and horrendously broken.
Yeah, no, I think definitely the means that the Army was using in this situation definitely violated the basic rule of distinction, namely the fighting forces, and this goes for whether you're an army or an armed group like this Fatah al-Islam group. You know, the basic rule is you have to distinguish between combatants, between fighters and civilians, non-combatants, and this rule was definitely you can't follow this, you can't comply with this rule with artillery in a refugee camp.
Yeah, and, you know, and part of this, and you know, when I read this again, I understand that there was a convoy with humanitarian aid moving to that camp that was shelled as well.
That's right. That happened on Tuesday or Wednesday, and nobody's saying who was responsible for that shelling. But in any case, that too was definitely a violation of the rules of war.
You know, and then I read, you know, from the Associated Press reports, it said that on Tuesday night, thousands of refugees, Joe, began leaving the camp following a lull in the fighting. Leaving to go where?
Well, as I indicated before, there are a lot of restrictions on what Palestinians can do and where they can live when they're in Lebanon, Palestinian refugees. There are other camps. Some of them went to, there are some camps in the general vicinity up there in northern Lebanon. Some of them went there, stayed with family or people they knew. Some of them went to schools that have been opened up as temporary shelters. But I think it's safe to say they're all, you know, they're operating in pretty makeshift conditions, to put it mildly.
Well, again, this is just one of those situations where you wonder, what can we do to help? And I don't know, under these circumstances, Joe Stork, what can we do to help? People listening to this program, they go, this is horrendous.
Well, let me mention one thing. I mean, just today we saw reports of upwards of about 8 very large airborne military transports landing in Lebanon from the United States full of various kinds of weapons and munitions and so forth. Now, we don't know what those weapons were. That hasn't been divulged, although some reports say that heavy artillery is amongst them. Again, if U.S. supplied equipment is going to be used in any kind of repeat engagement in this particular situation, then we do have a role, and it's important for people to let our government know that this is not acceptable to us. And I mean, what the United States should be doing, they seem to be, frankly, egging the Lebanese army on, as if they needed egging on. What they should be doing is, while acknowledging, as I said before, the army has a legitimate objective in eliminating or bringing to justice this Fatah al-Islam group, but the U.S. should also be delivering a very clear message that there are limits, there are red lines that should not be crossed. And what we saw the army doing earlier this week was definitely crossing the line.
Absolutely. Joe Stork, we are just about out of time. Is there a website we can get more information on Human Rights Watch?
Yes, please. We're at www.hrw.org.
All right, www.hrw.org. Thank you, Joe, so much. I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day holiday.
Thank you for calling.
All right, much more to get to on the other side of this break. We'll be joined by a Marine, frankly, who has been very active in the repeal for redress movement. Talk about the supplemental and much, much more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, I'm Tony Truppiano, sitting in for Peter. I'll be here a couple more days. We've got a lot to get to as we work our way through the program.
From progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and haven't we had an exciting week in politics? Paul Wolfowitz is resigning, Alberto Gonzalez has one more nail in his coffin, and Jerry Falwell did the world a favor, finally died. Doesn't it seem like the world has the ability to fix its mistakes? When are we humans going to learn to do the same thing? While running the World Bank, Paul Wolfowitz used his position and his power to give his girlfriend a new job and a great paycheck. We now find out that Alberto Gonzalez and his crew went to see John Ashcroft almost on his deathbed to get him to sign a document that benefited who else but themselves. And we don't have enough time to talk about all the sins of Jerry Falwell. My point today is this. It doesn't matter what the political world looks like. We can change it. By taking control, we too can fix the wrongs that are there in the political world. This is Todd the Taxi Driver saying have a nice weekend.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' 3 generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Our founding fathers warned us. What we have weathered is nothing to compare with what is here now. This Saturday and Sunday, May 26th and May 27th, come to Conspiracy Con at the San Jose DoubleTree Inn. Speakers talking about 9/11, Iraq, depleted uranium, past and present conspiracies. Call 209-832-0999 or www.conspiracycon.com. Share your views and learn more. ConspiracyCon.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. I'm grateful to my radio buddy and fellow progressive, Tony Truppiano, for sitting in. So give him a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Here he is, Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back, everybody. Tony Truppiano with you on a Friday program. Peter be off for a few days. Nice enough to let me sit in. Great interview in the last half hour. I think we're going to have a fascinating interview now. Again, you got the number. Peter just gave it to you. I would think that some of you are going to want to ring in on this guest. Joining me now is Liam Madden. Liam was a communications and electronics specialist with the Marines in Iraq. He co-founded the Repeal for Redress, a way in which individual service members can appeal to their congressional representative and U.S. senators to urge an end to the U.S. military occupation. Liam, I want to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you for having me on today, Tony.
First of all, I want to thank you for serving your country with pride and dignity. And I'm proud of your service, young man, and I'm so glad that you have the courage to stand up and show up, more importantly.
I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate what you're doing. You know, let's do a little education here, Liam, before I get into some of the nitty-gritty what I want to get to. I don't know that everybody understands what redress is. Let's talk a little bit about, let's define what redress is.
To me, redress means relief. To redress a problem is to gain some sort of relief and closure to it. The appeal for redress, then, is people, service members, appealing to their congressmen to relieve their grievance, to redress their grievance, which in this case is the war in Iraq, which is really tearing our military apart and it's tearing our country apart. It's very unfortunate.
Now, you say that, Liam, but you know that there are a lot of people out there of perhaps a different political ilk than I am that would say, well, there's just a disgruntled soldier, probably didn't get the raise he wanted. The troops are happy. Morale is great. What the hell's he talking about?
Smoke and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors. Yeah. That's exactly the opposite of what the case is. We are not soldiers who are disgruntled or bitter or afraid to go back. We're soldiers. The appeal for redress reads, as a patriotic American proud to serve my nation in uniform, I respectfully urge my political leaders in Congress to withdraw all forces and bases from Iraq. It's not about bitterness. It's about doing what's best for our country. We pledged an oath to serve and protect the Constitution against all enemies in foreign and domestic, and that means standing up and doing what's right. If defending the Constitution is what we're charged with, then the appeal for redress is exactly what it's called for. It's not about being bitter and just being crappy soldiers or Marines. In my case, it's about fulfilling your oath and doing what's best for this country.
Hey, Liam, I've met a lot of Marines. I don't know that I've ever met a crappy Marine. I don't even know that there is such a thing as a crappy Marine. You know, and I want to turn our attention now. You know, it just so happens I have the news on in the background here in the studio, and they just flashed on the screen that so far this month, being the 25th of May, that 93 U.S. service members have been killed in Iraq alone this month, and unfortunately we've got another week to go this month. As we look at that and we take a look at the temperature of the country right now, in lieu of what happened in the House and the Senate yesterday with an amazing 80 senators voting for the Iraq supplemental bill, and although we did have 140 Democrats in the House vote against it, it passed overwhelmingly. Listen, I know you're not naive. I know that you knew this was going to pass at the end of the day, but those official votes frankly had to piss you off a little bit.
Of course. I'm actually amazed that 80 people in the Senate, 80 United States senators charged with being the checks and balances of our government, had the audacity to fund a war crime. And that's really what this is. This is not a war that was made with the best of intentions, a really kind-hearted project that went totally wrong. It's a war crime. This war is based on lies. It's a betrayal. And to continue funding it is to buy it. They own it.
Yeah, unfortunately, Liam, we can easily make a case that at this point all of America owns it and will for generations to come.
It's sad.
It is sad.
Go ahead. Did you see Keith Olbermann the other night, Tony?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I do a show during the day, Liam, and I played the audio from that on my show.
That's encouraging. And what he said there was that the people are ahead of the government here. The people are ahead of the politicians and ahead of the media. This is not something all of America has bought and owned for generations. This is something that the government has betrayed us on. I think it's sad that we really don't have checks and balances, and we really don't have an opposition party, because that's what is designed. It's not supposed to happen where there's a war crime committed and there's no accountability held to the executive branch.
Accountability is a big word with this Bush administration, Liam Madden, and there's no question about that. Let me ask you this question. I don't know if you saw Minority Leader Republican John Boehner on the House floor yesterday. Did you happen to see or hear the audio from that?
No, I read in the paper, though,
He cried. He cried. And listen, I'm not criticizing his emotion, but he, in a heartfelt, sincere way, as displaced as I believed it was, talked passionately about how we cannot ignore terrorism, and we just need to understand that this is something we have to do. I believe that John Boehner, Liam Madden, fully believes that. I also believe he's wrong. Your thoughts?
There are people that truly do believe that Iraq is the place where the United States needs to take a stand against terrorism. Unfortunately, I agree with you. I believe they're wrong, too. I think that it's a matter of self-determination for the Iraqi people, and that it's their war to fight. It's a civil war, and it's their war to fight now, and it's actually not the place for the United States military and the United States government to be telling another nation how to run themselves, and that includes the benchmarks that got passed about the hydrocarbon law. And the hydrocarbon law, the title of it, it reeks of exactly what the problem is, that we're afraid to call it exactly what the hydrocarbon law actually is, and that's the oil law. And that's how the United States plans to pressure the Iraqi government. That's one of the benchmarks that everyone's talking about they set, is passing this law that divides the Iraqi oil resources. The 81 oil wells in Iraq, 17 of them would go to the Iraqi people, and the rest would go to British and American international oil companies. Now, I think that there are people that believe that this is a stand against terrorism, but if this war was based on lies, then the true reasons for it underlying that would have to have been oil, because we know now that it wasn't about weapons of mass destruction. We know now that it wasn't about links to Al-Qaeda, and it's pretty evident to me that it's no longer about the will of the Iraqi people, because they want us to leave. It's about this thing called the hydrocarbon law, and that is where I think people are being, the compassion that Minority Leader Boehner displayed is shared by a lot of people in this country, but it's being manipulated, because it's a compassionate thing to do to want to help the Iraqi people, and it's a noble thing to do to want to fight terrorism, but that sentiment is being manipulated by the people who really initiated this war, and then that is manipulating them for this oil, for this hydrocarbon law. It's a sad, sad thing, and that it's sad.
All right, Liam Madden, again, my guest, 42 minutes after the hour. We're going to go to the phones here if you'd care to join us. 888-573-8372. Again, I'm Tony Truppiano sitting in for Peter B. Collins, and I want to welcome Dave and Eureka to the Peter B. Collins Show. Dave, a question or comment for my guest today.
Yes, I do. Hello again, dear Tony.
Hello, my friend.
Liam, I'm wondering if you could make a guess, an estimate, from your experience there, what percentage of soldiers, Marines, are gaining something of your level of awareness that you've been lied to, and that we're in a criminal war for the personal profits of the small group at the top. Can you make a guess? Is it roughly half or less than half, more than half?
Liam, did you hear the caller?
I believe the caller asked he asked me to make an educated guess on what percentage of soldiers have the level of awareness that this war is a criminal war, and that it's being waged for reasons that are not the reasons we were led into it. I can only speak from my experience and not from, it's hard for me to say what other people feel, but I know that most soldiers and Marines that I served with knew that oil was an underlying reason we were at war. That doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't feel that we were also there for the other reasons. Most people in the military are not completely naive by any stretch of the imagination. However, how many feel that we need to, how many feel the same level of betrayal that I feel? How many understand that the implication of the failure of checks and balances and the myth of an opposition party? I would say kind of similar to the whole cross-section of people in the country, the military is similar. That meaning, I'd say around one-third feel that this war is a betrayal like I do. Another third feel that this war is, for better or worse, where we need to be as a country. We can't abandon the people of Iraq. And then another third are the people sitting on the fence, going on longer deployments with shorter breaks, having their families basically torn apart, and these people are struggling with the very heartbreaking and difficult realities.
Liam, there's no question that all that's true. I'm going to get to the next caller. Again, want to remind you, just feel free to dial in, 888-573-8372. And I want to go to Emily in Santa Cruz. Emily, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you have a question or comment for my guest today?
Yes, I do. Thank you. And it's to follow up on Dave and Eureka's question. I'm wondering about what your sense is of how much of a movement is growing among enlisted people in the military now, and what you think needs to happen to help it grow more, and what kind of support it could use from people in the peace movement outside of the military. And the reason that I'm thinking about this in particular, in addition to working to end the war, is that as we see all the pieces being put into place for fascism in this country, the military may be called upon to turn its attention against the people of the United States. And I think the more resistance that there is in the military, the less chance of that working in it. And a strong GI movement may be the best hope we have of avoiding that kind of scenario.
You know, and Liam, before you respond to what Emily said, and Emily, with all due respect to what you said, I would hope that those that are currently in Iraq and Afghanistan do not organize some kind of anti-war movement. That puts their brothers and sisters at great risk, at great harm. Now, once they're deployed home, like Liam finally was, and people like Paul Rykoff and John Soltz and others with some national organizations, to rally those GIs, I think, is a very noble effort. And so, Liam, I just wanted to say that before you commented.
Yeah, I share your sentiments, Tony. I feel that it's very important to organize soldiers, and I'm not saying organize people for resistance so much as organize people for a higher level of consciousness, because to address the caller's point, that it's soldiers and the military with a raised level of consciousness are never going to be soldiers that are used against the people of the United States, but it's also going to be soldiers with a raised level of consciousness that will sooner or later begin to choose to not fight this war, whether
right,
it be
we've
to
Liam
get out of the military or to organize once they're stateside. And
Liam, I'm going to have to ask you to hold that. We've got to get to the break. Emily, thank you for your call. Again, I'm Tony Truppiano on the Peter B. Collins Show. Give us a call now, 888-573-8372. We'll be right back.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Welcome back. Tony Truppiano with you, 9 minutes before the top of the hour. In for Peter B. Collins on this Friday, my guest, Liam Madden. Liam is a Marine, formerly in Iraq, is one of the co-founders of Appeal for Redress. Liam, before I go on, is there a website for you folks?
Sure. IraqVeteransAgainstTheWar.org. That's IVAW.org. Is a groundbreaking new organization of veterans that are coming back from Iraq and organizing and joining forces with each other to amplify their voices against the war in Iraq, and also Appeal for Redress, all one word, .org, is where active duty, National Guard, and reserve service members can go to file an appeal to their congressman.
And I would encourage them all to do this on what's the beginning, Liam, of a Memorial Day holiday. Again, I said at the top of the show, and of course you didn't hear this, you know, this means many things for many people. I would think that Memorial Day is a little different as you're now a vet.
Certainly. Memorial Day and Veterans Day are days when you reflect upon what it means very much to serve this country. And now I got out of the Marines 3 months ago, but for the 4 years preceding this, it's a day where you stop and reflect to see what it means to serve. And as things become clearer and clearer about the war in Iraq and about this government, it becomes a little bit of a bittersweet thing. And the it really makes you question what and for who did you serve, because I don't feel any longer that I was serving the people of the United States.
But I would like to think that you don't feel that your service was a waste of time.
I actually don't feel that way.
Good.
I
don't want you to.
Tremendously as a person, personally. The Marines, I really don't have a problem with the Marine Corps. The Marines helped form me in a lot of positive ways. And there was also a lot of obstacles that they, you know, encouraged me to overcome, or whether or not they encouraged me, I had to overcome. And those obstacles in life make you stronger. So I don't regret serving, but if I could have picked another four-year period in the history of the United States to serve, I probably would have done that.
All right. I want to read a quote, and I don't know if this is attributed to you or not, but I have it as part of the package for the show today, and it goes, Liam Madden, Congress is attempting to defuse the sentiment of a lot of people who want this war to end by giving the impression that Congress tried to end it, when in fact that's not what the bill would have done. The entire argument between Bush and Congress has been a farce. Is that your quote?
It is.
Tell me why you said that, Liam.
Because initially the democratically controlled Congress, with the alleged will of the people behind them. I say alleged because they weren't actually doing what the people wanted with this bill. They tried to fund the war for two more years and apply benchmarks where the president would have had to withdraw after that two-year period of the war in Iraq. However, this bill had loopholes in it where the president could bypass those withdrawal deadlines. So it was basically funding with really no mechanism for enforcement of the withdrawal deadlines. Second of all, it allowed for troops to stay, regardless if the president used those loopholes, stay for fighting terrorists, for training Iraqi forces, for force protection, and for special operations. And it's a real catch-22 when you say force protection, because if there are forces there for training and fighting terrorists, then of course you're going to need more forces to protect them. So it really, there was no teeth in the bill ever to begin with. It was continuing to fund a war crime, which is unconscionable. And it was giving the impression, all of the newspaper headlines said that, you know, Congress was being this firm embodiment of opposition to this war, when in fact they were giving more money for it and having no mechanisms for enforcing any sort of withdrawal from Iraq.
You know,
that's
Congress,
why I said it was a farce.
Liam, very quickly, we only have literally a minute left. Congressman Jim McGovern actually had put forth a bill that would have funded the redeployment home. Are you familiar with that legislation? It went down in defeat, unfortunately, but are you familiar with it?
Yes.
Would that have satisfied you?
I believe so. I think that any I would be satisfied when there's no funding going towards that war, and that to me is a sign of progress on this a battle against a war crime.
Liam, I'm proud of you. Again, I'll say that. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your service to this great country, and I'm proud of the fact that you've learned how to exercise your First Amendment rights in a way that makes a difference. Enjoy this Memorial Day holiday, and I'm sure that Peter and his staff would be happy to help you in any way they can as you move forward.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for having me. Take care.
It was my pleasure. Truly, it was my pleasure. Liam Madden, once again. Again, the two websites that he mentioned very quickly, IVAW.org, in all one word, appealforredress.org. Go get that information. We do have to take a quick break here for the top of the hour. A lot of good stuff to get to in the next hour as well, so you'll want to stay tuned. And feel free to join us on the toll-free. We'll give you the number on the other side. Again, if you have any comments that you want to provide via email, do it, Tony at...
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. A holiday weekend, but how about those gas prices?
Outrageous. I don't know. It's supposedly, what, the worst it's ever been?
A new Senate report on pre-war intelligence.
The report shows President Bush had plenty of warning about all the things that went wrong in Iraq before he invaded.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial kickoff to summer and warm weather travel. On the Pennsylvania Turnpike, everybody had a place to go and plans for fun.
Starting from Chicago to Ocean City, Maryland, surf's up.
We started out from Osage, Iowa. We're going to New Freedom, Pennsylvania, and we're going to a college graduation.
I'm going to St. James, North Carolina, for vacation for a week. We're going to play a lot of golf.
There's little evidence that high gasoline prices have put a crimp in people's plans. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes says Americans are finding other ways to control the travel budget.
They might go online to do a little more trip planning, check out fare calculators, go to bargain destinations, maybe use some new technology to get their travel information a little bit faster, a little bit easier. But they won't stay home. In fact, more Americans traveling by car this holiday weekend than last Memorial Day.
AAA predicts a nearly 2% increase in travel, but some people, like this man in New Orleans, say the high price at the pump is limiting their holiday options.
I'm going to probably stay home, get off the road, ride the bike.
We still get some exercise. A new study finds the impact of gasoline prices is different in different parts of the country.
Paying $3.40 a gallon in, say, Peoria, Illinois, has a lot more impact than paying $3.40 a gallon in Southern California.
Tom Cloza of the Oil Price Information Service says people in Peoria, Kentucky, Alabama, and West Virginia are paying as much as 15% of their monthly income to fuel their vehicles. In California and in the Northeast, it's a much more bearable 2 or 3% of income. Now this.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Accord and Pilot models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved. See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From May 24th to the 28th, save 30% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save 15% on Duration Home and Duration Exterior Coatings. And save 25% on select wall coverings, too. So hurry in. The Memorial Day sale ends Monday, May 28th. For painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Leading the charge into Iraq, the Bush administration may have had blinders on when it came to signs there were no weapons of mass destruction. But in terms of the consequences of invading, they went in with eyes wide open. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has details of a new report.
The Senate Intelligence Committee, whose earlier report detailed how wrong pre-war intelligence was about WMDs in Iraq, now says they were right about what would happen after a U.S. invasion. This latest report says the CIA warned top administration officials that attacking Iraq would help terrorists raise money and recruit, and that they'd likely attack U.S. forces. They also warned Iraq was a deeply divided society, and there would be violence between the sects, and establishing a stable democracy there would be a long, turbulent process. They were also prescient warning that Iran would take advantage of the situation to try to gain influence in Iraq. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Republicans on the committee say the report is selective and presents a distorted picture of pre-war intelligence. He's back. Muqtada al-Sadr, the fiery Shiite cleric, surfaced today at a mosque in Kufa, Iraq, delivering an anti-American, anti-Israeli sermon to 6,000 followers. For the past 4 months, he's believed to have been hiding out in Iran. Check the label. Some Frito-Lay products will soon be advertised as heart-healthy. The company has won permission from the Food and Drug Administration to claim that vegetable oils, spreads, and shortenings with unsaturated fat can help prevent heart disease. The claim would also apply to salad dressings, crackers, chips, sauces, and dips that contain the oil. The campaign against drunk driving seems to have stalled. Transportation Secretary Mary Peter says alcohol-related traffic fatalities rose last year to the highest level since 1992.
If wearing a safety belt is the easiest thing people will ever do, I have to tell you that drunk driving is the dumbest thing that people will ever do. Our data shows that 41% of the crash deaths involve the use of alcohol.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all... Garmin, the leader in navigation.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Begone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Begone Max. Follow directions on label.
President Bush is at Camp David for part of the Memorial Day weekend.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. Please give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive voice from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. Here's Tony Truppiano.
And welcome, everybody. Tony Truppiano with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. Pleasure to be with you today. And we've got another great hour of radio lined up for you. You're going to want to stay tuned. And again, let me give you the number if you want to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free number, 888-573-8372. If you've got a comment you want to submit via email, it'll come right into the studio, right in front of me, Tony at the TonyShow.com. So feel free to join us any way you'd like. Let me turn my attention now to my first guest. In fact, I had a chance to meet him last year at the Take Back America Conference. Joining me now from the Nation is Ari Berman. Ari is one of the smartest people that works at the Nation. Nation happens to be my favorite publication. A lot to talk about today, Ari. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, Tony. What an unexpected surprise. I didn't even know you were going to be hosting today.
Yeah, we did it just to mess with you, dude. That's why we did it, you know, just so it would throw you off your
Switch
game.
Switch it up, exactly.
Yeah, right. Like anybody can throw you off your game.
I'll try to do my best to live up to your words.
Yeah, anybody can throw you off your game. You know, I got to ask you, before we get on, a little personal stuff. How's our buddy Mike Webb doing over at the Brennan Center?
Good, good. Yeah, I think he's adjusting well. I mean, they're doing a lot of interesting stuff on sort of civil rights and justice and law. And, you know, after a while at the Nation, I think it was time for him to move on.
Yeah, he's a great guy and a good friend, and I'm sure you all miss him there at the Nation as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, there is a lot to get to, and you did a piece that's at thenation.com right now titled Reading the Tea Leaves. I enjoyed it. It made me chuckle a little bit. A little posturing, and before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, you know, I've got to ask you, 80 senators vote for the supplemental. I was a little surprised that number was so big.
Well, yeah, and I was a little surprised last week on the Feingold-Reed resolution that would have basically said U.S. troops start leaving by March 2008, that only 29 senators voted for that. It seemed like there was a lot more momentum. I thought I was going to get 40 or 45 votes. It got 29. So 80, yeah, it's pretty surprising. But it's hard to predict these sort of things, and they were left with sort of two bad choices, unfortunately. One choice is giving Bush, his money with some benchmarks, which it seems to me that Bush could waive if he wanted to, or taking the step of cutting off the money or conditioning the money or at least using the power of the purse, and Democrats didn't seem to want to do that.
No, they certainly didn't. We're going to get to that in a little more detail, but there are two candidates that sit in the Senate. One of them has pretty much been a pro-war candidate for a very, very long time, either as senator, certainly she was a pro-war candidate. The other has been very vocal against the war. I'm speaking, of course, respectively, of Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Obama.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like a Democratic primary to turn a hawk into a dove, is there? Hillary was basically supportive of the war for 4 years. And then she started running for president after she announced I'm in to win. She basically became opposed to the war. Now she seems to be one of the most anti-war candidates. I just heard Howard Wolfson, her spokesman on Harbaugh today. He kept saying, we need a candidate who's going to end the war. Well, no one a year ago thought that that candidate would be Hillary Clinton, but here we are today. Meanwhile, Barack Obama, although he opposed the war, has been pretty cautious since joining the Senate. And quite frankly, there isn't a whole lot of difference between the two on Iraq anymore. And so that's why everyone was wondering, how are they going to vote? You knew they were going to vote the same way. There was just no way they weren't going to vote differently. It's just no one knew how they were going to vote, even right before the vote. And Obama voted first. He voted no. So, of course, Hillary had to vote no as well. And I think it would have been interesting. What if Hillary voted first and voted yes? Would Obama have voted no all the same? I guess we'll never know.
And Ari Berman, you're right. We will never know. And I guess I appreciate the symbolism of the two no votes. There's no question about that. But when they voted, by the time they voted, was it pretty clear where this was going?
Yeah, they voted late. They knew it was going to fail. I mean, they knew it was going to fail before the vote, obviously. I mean, the reason why the House took out the timetable is because they didn't have the votes to override the veto. And at some point, they felt like they had to get Bush the money. So, yeah, they knew it wasn't going to pass long, well in advance of the vote. But they still didn't declare their intentions until the very last minute, in fact, until they voted.
All right. Now, I've got, just as a quick side note, because I got a kick out of this today, I was reading one of the blogs, and I don't know if you saw the video of the bird pooping on President Bush yesterday.
I missed it, but...
Okay, well, it's online. If you really want to find it, it's not that hard. But one of the people in the blogs, there was a picture of it, and they said, obviously, that was a dove flying by.
Yeah, well,
I could use a few
more of those doves, I guess.
Yeah, I just thought it was awfully funny. You know, and Senator Clinton actually has a little, interestingly enough, a PR nightmare because of her PR consultant.
Well, yeah, I mean, it honestly has been not a very good week for Senator Clinton, per usual, I guess. There's these books coming out about her next month, which they've been damage controlling. There's these leaked memos from Iowa. And then last week, I did a story, which Bloomberg News followed up on this week, about how basically, you know, her chief strategist and pollster, Mark Penn, moonlights as not only a pollster for a lot of very large corporations, but also runs one of the world's largest PR firms called Burson Marsteller. And that puts him in league with a whole host of Democratic antagonists. And one of the things Burson Marsteller does is they lend help to companies that are trying to squash union drives, some pretty viciously. And so that doesn't, I don't think, reflect very well on Senator Clinton and her claims to be a great progressive that she keeps someone like Mark Penn around.
Well, you know, and you're referring to the piece you did called Hillary Inc., I believe?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Very well done, as everything you do is.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's interesting because today I was doing some research on this very issue, and, you know, this Barson PR firm, they just signed a contract with the Colombian government.
Yeah. Yeah. And the interesting thing about that is the other part of my piece is about this big lobbying and PR firm called the Glover Park Group that's basically all former Clintonites, including a bunch who worked very closely with Hillary, her spokesman Howard Wolfson, a bunch of others. And originally, I had a line in the piece about how the Glover Park Group had signed a deal with the government of Colombia, the right-wing government of Colombia, to try to push this new U.S.-Colombia trade pact, which is very unpopular in this country because in Colombia, people who work for labor unions get murdered. Labor unions in this country don't like it. So it's a very controversial deal. They paid Glover Park $40,000 a month to try to lobby Congress and the administration. And then a story comes out today showing that not only is Glover Park getting money from the government of Colombia, but so is Burson Marsteller, which is paying them, which the government of Colombia is paying $300,000, so they're even more money, and the government of Colombia in a nice Twist of Fate, is also honoring Bill Clinton at a dinner in June. So
isn't
that I guess that's
nice.
What you call synergy.
Ah, Ari Berman, I'm telling you, I just feel so community-oriented right now. You know, I'm not going to lie, and anybody that knows me knows, I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan. I will not vote for her. If she is the party's nominee, I'm going to encourage Mike Gravel to run as an independent. I just can't embrace Hillary as the Democratic candidate. But I'm not convinced, Ari, at the end of the day, that she's got the mettle to, I mean, she may have the money, but I don't know that she's got the mettle to get through all this.
Well, I mean, the leaked memo about skipping Iowa is very, very revealing because it basically says we could do very poorly in Iowa, we could be broke, and we could be in trouble. Now, boy, you do not hear the Hillary camp talking like that very often. And obviously this memo wasn't supposed to be public. But this was supposed to be the coronation ceremony that, oh, back comes the Clinton to the White House. Oh, Bill is so popular with all these Democrats. Oh, Hillary is so great. She's so experienced. She's such a wonderful woman. It should just be her nomination. Let's just give it to her. Well, things didn't work out that way. Barack Obama obviously came into the picture. John Edwards is giving her a lot of trouble in Iowa, where he consistently leads in all the polls. And a lot of Democrats, despite her move to the left in recent days, still don't really believe that she's been a fighter for them over these last 6 years when Rome has been burning, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, there's lots of things problematic about this. I do want to ask you about John Edwards for just a moment. He gave a great speech the other day before yesterday, maybe it was even yesterday, I believe it was the day before, where he talked about the war on terror and why we have to stop using it as a phrase because it's all it is a phrase. You know, there are people out there going, you know what, he voted for the war. Yeah, he apologized for it, but when you want to be president and, you know, in a country where war isn't popular, all that being said, I still believe he's walking the walk and talking the talk.
Well, again, it's hard to know. I mean, definitely there's a big difference between John Edwards of today and John Edwards of 2002, 2003. Now, maybe he's evolved over time. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's posturing. I don't know. All I know is that what he's saying sounds good to Democrats. And he's going sort of above and beyond what he needs to say, for example. But, I mean, I think he's right. I mean, the war on terror is a stupid phrase. He doesn't just believe that. A bunch of military people believe it. Our own Defense Department basically believes that when they tried to rename the war on terror, they just didn't do a very good job of renaming it. But basically, I mean, John Edwards said a few interesting things in that speech. Not only that, but he also, a lot of Democrats are talking about how we need a larger military, basically 90,000 more soldiers, give or take. And Edwards said, no, we don't just need to randomly assign a number. If we get out of Iraq, maybe we wouldn't have a crisis with the military. And I thought that was a very, very interesting thing to say, because when Barack Obama gave his major foreign policy speech not too long ago, maybe a month ago, he basically said the exact same things that Hillary Clinton and everyone in the Democratic foreign policy establishment says. We need a larger military to fight growing threats, blah, 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 blah. John Edwards didn't say that, and he pointedly, sort of by without name, criticized both Obama and Hillary for saying that. So I thought that was another notable part of his speech.
Well, and I'll say this before we get to the break, Ari Berman. I know David Bonier, his campaign manager, fairly well. I think you know I'm from Michigan.
Yeah, from Michigan.
David was a congressman here. I've spent time personally and professionally with David Bonier. For him to make the sacrifice, because as a campaign manager, it's a huge sacrifice.
Yeah.
I believe there's something real there. You know,
well,
the other
it's
thing,
unusual, if anything, for a congressman to want to run a campaign.
And, well, that'll tell you. You know, and part of that, and we'll explain to the audience, David Bonier was probably, in the history of this nation, the most pro-labor congressman we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the appeal for David Bonier with regard to John Edwards is that labor influence, that Edwards gets labor. He really does.
Yeah, I mean, I think Edwards does get it. I think that the stuff, I actually do believe the stuff about his house and his hair is problematic, only because this is what people are going to attack him on now. And if he didn't have such a big house, if he didn't have such expensive haircuts, he'd be a lot less vulnerable to this stuff. But, yes, I think you're right. He does get labor's concerns. He's been very committed to labor. A lot of people in labor like him a lot.
Absolutely. We're going to take a very quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to have you with us. Ari Berman from The Nation is my guest. Go to thenation.com. Again, if you want to join us, 888-573-8372. And the emails, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll take the break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KIXA. Ha!
Ocean's 18. Finally, a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium and the American Tin Cannery. Ocean's 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Ocean's 18 opens at 12. Stays open late every day. Ocean's 18 Miniature Golf.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or perm, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that's exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Alrighty, folks, Memorial Day getaway weekend. Let's give the very latest. And, of course, the traffic is going to be a little extra heavy because a lot of folks are getting away. What I can tell you right now is that, let's take a look at Gilroy, Monterey Avenue, and Maston. We have a gas container spilling fuel in the roadway there in the lanes. Also, we're going to mention the fact that in Felton, expect delays tomorrow morning, that'd be the 26th, half-mile section of Highway 9 between the entrance to Henry Cal Park and Graham Hill will be closed in both directions to accommodate a parade, which will begin at 9:30. That'll go until 11:30 tomorrow morning. Also want to mention Aptos delays possible because on Highway 1, Soquel Drive, and other roads leading to Aptos Village Park, where the Santa Cruz Blues Festival runs both days from 11 to 7 p.m.
And welcome back. Tony Truppiano with you. 23 minutes after the hour, I'm in for Peter B. Collins. He'll be back next week as we're ramping up to a Memorial Day weekend. Ari Berman with me from The Nation. Interestingly, Ari, during the break, Hardball's on and Wolfson's on, so I kind of turned the volume up a little bit and was listening. And, you know, right away he started saying, well, you know, today John McCain criticized both, you know, my candidate and another candidate, and I don't know why he's doing that. Obviously, Howard doesn't want to answer questions when he starts invoking John McCain, who's not even the nominee of his party yet.
Well, you didn't hear the question. Matthews brought up what McCain said about Hillary and Obama, and Wolfson was responding to McCain.
Oh, okay, all right.
So actually, he wasn't bringing up McCain, and in fact, I thought that Wolfson didn't really do a very good job of attacking McCain, given that he could have pointed out, for example, that McCain is the architect of a surge that is quite, frankly, pretty unpopular right now.
Yeah, and we're not here to talk about John McCain. Perhaps we'll save that for another discussion.
But I want to add one thing about that interview, though, since we're talking about it now. Matthews kept talking about the stuff in these two books that are forthcoming about Hillary that bring up a lot of things that happened with Bill in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, about whether he was faithful or not. And Wolfson said, you know, people don't want to talk about this anymore. And I think he's right. We shouldn't talk about this anymore. But the fact is, we are going to talk about it. It's a reality. And I think it's one reason why a lot of people feel uncomfortable with Hillary, because they just don't want to rehash this whole business. And inevitably, we're going to have to, given the way the media works.
Yeah, but, Ari, you know, I mean, you know, 2 years ago, when the Hillary for President murmur started, that was one of the first arguments that was made, is do we really want to relive it? And everybody kept on saying, well, we won't have a choice.
Yeah. But I mean, no one wants to relive it, though. That's the weird thing. I mean, some of the Clintons think they can have it both ways, that they can run and not relive it. But the fact is, if they run, they're going to relive it. I think that's one reason why, for example, that she should stay in the Senate and not run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are going to go to the phones again if you want to join us. 888-573-8372. Ari Berman is my guest from The Nation. And I want to welcome Rick in Cleveland. Rick, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Question or comment for my guest, please.
Oh, how you doing, Tony? Hey, you probably get this asked all the time, but are you going to run again?
No, I am not going to run again, but, Rich, I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, I was a big supporter, tried to help out. You know, we're good guys need doing.
I appreciate it.
I want to ask your guest, there was a big blow-up about Edwards wanting to have all these anti-war displays on Memorial Day. And I'd like to get a comment from your guest. Thank you.
No problem, Rick.
What was the blow-up? I didn't even follow this.
Okay. John Edwards had called for demonstrations this Memorial Day weekend against the war.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
I think I had seen one news article. I mean, I'm sort of hesitant to comment more beyond that. What was the blowback for it, though?
There was a huge threat on Democratic Underground about Edwards specifically saying go to parades with your anti-war stuff on Memorial Day. Now it seems like that he's back down to during the weekend.
Well, was he planning on going to an anti-war march on Memorial Day?
I don't know the details of what the Edwards camp was planning on doing, but that's what I had heard, that he had called
and
for Ari,
I'll
war
suggest
people
the
to come out. I'll
suggest
I mean, I've been to a number of anti-war marches, and I don't recall seeing John Edwards at any of them.
Me neither. Isn't that something?
Well, you know, it thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Rich, a great deal. Very quickly, we only have about a minute left, and I wanted to get to the progressives around the country profoundly disenchanted and disillusioned and disappointed by the Democratic leadership this week. Is there any domino effect to this? I mean, we keep on hearing that there will be other challenges. This, you know, president can't stand up forever. Do you see anything, any domino effect to this area that'll make a difference, that'll appease the anti-war movement in this country?
Well, I just think they have to keep putting as much pressure on the Republicans as possible, because Bush is on his own timeline basically right now. That timeline could last to the end of his presidency. We don't know. But Democrats, they can do so much. I mean, if they're not willing to take the step of cutting off funding, of conditioning funding to end the war, then they have to put pressure on Republicans to at least break from Bush so that Bush gets more and more isolated and it's more and more difficult for him to continue the war, or for another president once they get in to quickly end the war if Bush doesn't end it. So I think that, you know, there's reasons to be pessimistic. That said, I mean, it's really President Bush's fault the war is not ending, not Democrats in Congress.
Ari Berman with The Nation. Nice to talk.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The troops have been honored. The money is approved. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. As predicted, Congress has passed a war funding bill the president will sign. No timetable, no deadlines, no enforceable benchmarks. It does include a higher minimum wage, sending our enemies a clear message that if they do dare to sneak into our country, we will pay them fairly, thus making them feel too guilty to hurt us. Of course, the president got the money by again making it clear that to cut off the money is to cut off the troops, making anyone who votes to cut off money a troop hater. And since most members of Congress are not ready to be called troop haters, they approve money through September. And since troop hating probably won't be in vogue in September either, they'll probably approve it again through March. And since troop hating becomes even more difficult as the election gets closer, well, in the current situation, the best way to love a soldier is to keep him in Iraq. There is one thing that would make it okay to leave, one thing that would allow a U.S. politician to cut off the money without being a troop hater.
We are there at the invitation of the Iraqi government. This is a sovereign nation. It's their government's choice. If they were to say leave, we would leave.
Interesting he should say that, because a majority of the Iraqi parliament has signed a petition asking just that. And they might get around to passing a binding resolution demanding that we leave, if it wasn't for an even more pressing issue, that being the need to adjourn for the summer. Plus, if they ever did pass such a resolution, they'd be troop haters. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Sober Stones Big Sur Jade is now available. These deep green jade stones are rare, found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur. If you or someone in your family suffers from any addiction, these pocket stones will remind them recovery is possible. Use Sober Stones Big Sur Jade is now available. These deep green jade stones are rare, found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur. If you or someone in your family suffers from any addiction, these pocket stones will remind them recovery is possible. Used by Native Indians for thousands of years in healing, they'll remind you of your commitment to a sober life. Call 521-7917 for your Sober Stone. $15 will include shipping and handling. 521-7917.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. I'm grateful to my radio buddy and fellow progressive, Tony Truppiano, for sitting in. So give him a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Here he is, Tony Truppiano.
Appreciate it a great deal. We got a lot to get to yet in this hour. Again, you got the number if you want to join us. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. You know, ironically, as I sit here today, and for those of you that don't know, I live in Michigan. Not only do we have the worst economy in the country, not only do we have the highest unemployment rate in the country, not only have we lost more manufacturing jobs than any state in the country, we now have the distinction of paying the highest price for a gallon of gasoline than anybody in the country. God, it's good to be me. Well, there has to be alternatives, don't there? And I think that one of the things that we should probably try to remember on this Memorial Day weekend, no, not that there was a time where gas was 12 cents a gallon. It was long before Mom and Dad even were around, to be honest with you. It's, you know, that one of the things that's great about this country is that we have resources where we can literally turn lemons into lemonade. And perhaps my next guest will help us work through that. Joining me now is Dr. David Morris. Dr. Morris is Vice President of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. He's been an advisor to the energy departments of President Ford, Carter, Clinton, and George Bush I. He currently serves on a federal advisory council created by Congress to advise secretaries of energy and agriculture on energy policy. And Dr. Morris, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a pleasure to have you on today.
Well, thanks, Tony, for having me.
It is my pleasure. Now, listen, I'm not going to hit you up for gas money, so we're good there.
Okie doke.
Dr. Morris, we talk a lot about alternative forms of energy. We do talk a lot about it, and there is some of it out there.
Well, there
Why
is
aren't
some
we being
of,
more aggressive?
There is some of it out there. I mean, what we should realize, I'm old enough, as you said in the introduction, that I was around in 1974, not only around, but I was involved, although very peripherally as a young gun, when the first oil crisis hit in 1974. The price of oil went up because of an OPEC embargo by 400%, and the federal government swung into action and did a Project Blueprint Independence and said we need to get off of imported oil. And imported oil at that point was 30% of our overall oil supplies. It's now over 60%. So one can look at that and say, well, we didn't do all that well. But in 1974, we had to create technologies. We had to create industries. There was no ethanol production at all. The entire global supply of solar cells was enough to supply one house, that's it. Wind turbines were still 1920s, 1930s farm wind turbines. They weren't the metal utility-sized wind turbines. So we literally had to create something. And now it's 2007, and that's created. I mean, the technologies are there. The industries are there. There are nationwide distribution networks, nationwide service networks, performance warranties. There's financial capital. Now what we need to do is to move those industries from 1% of the economy or the energy supply to 25 and 50 and 75% and even 100%. So really it's not a time to be cynical because we didn't have the ability to achieve our goals in the 1970s. But we do now. Now we lack the political will possibly, but we do have the ability to, if you will, get off of oil within 20 years.
Okay. Now, and with all that said, you know, you just use the key words there, political will. We know that the American people want to move in this direction. They passionately want to move in this direction. We've talked more about quote unquote green lots of things in the last year than in the rest of my entire life combined. There's more awareness that alternative energies exist. There certainly seems to be a great passion for a lot of people to want to incorporate that into their lives. So who do we need to move off dead center to start moving this forward?
We need to change the rules, and we can do that collectively. You know, when people talk about green right now, there are 100 stories about changing our habits and our behavior and acting as consumers than there is in changing the way we vote and acting as citizens. And so collectively, we can change the rules. And, you know, for people in California, you know, they did change the rules back in 1990. I mean, it was really quite a breathtaking change in which the California Air Resources Board, after 30 years of trying to clean up the air in the Los Angeles Basin, finally said, well, look, the heck with dealing with tailpipes. We're just going to require that cars from now on, in increasing percentages, have no tailpipes, which means electric cars. And the if anybody has seen the movie Who Killed the Electric Car, you should if you haven't. It's an extraordinary description of a way in which we changed the rules and got electric vehicles, vibrant, comfortable, family electric vehicles powered by an electricity system that uses virtually no oil. And then the car companies killed it. They killed it in a number of different ways, but they did, in fact, kill it. But having killed it, they didn't kill the idea. In fact, what happened is that by complying with the mandate, they proved the proposition. That is, they proved that there were people who would want to drive electric cars even if they couldn't drive cross-country in them. They could only use them for 99.9% of their trips. And they liked them because they were quiet and they were pollution-free and they got them off of oil. And I just came back from California two weeks ago, where I spent a week driving in the new generation of electric vehicles. But they're coming in from the ground up. They're coming in from entrepreneurs, from small businesses, from hackers, and in some cases with some Silicon Valley money. And so this time they're coming in without the car companies. They're coming in because people know now what was proven in the 1990s, and they want it. So it's a combination, really, of entrepreneurial zeal, if you will, and customers saying, we'll buy it if you produce it, and the federal government saying, we will create the rules that that enable it.
All right, now, and with that said, Dr. David Morris, how many years do you think we're away from being able to mass market the kind of electric vehicle that you're talking about?
Well, it's available right now if people think of the transitional vehicle, which is the hybrid vehicle. I mean, the hybrid vehicle was introduced in the United States, the hybrid vehicle being, of course, a vehicle that can propel itself by an engine or by a motor, by electricity or by liquid fuels. And it was introduced in this country only in 2000 as almost a novelty car. It wasn't until 2004, late 2003, really, that the 2004 second iteration model of the Toyota Prius came in the market. And suddenly people looked at it and went, holy mackerel, I love that. And within a year, there was a six-month waiting list for it. And now hybrid cars are about 2% of new cars sold in this country. The American car companies have just begun to get involved in it. They hated it. They didn't want to do it. But a hybrid vehicle is a new technological platform. It can run on electricity or gasoline. The shortcoming of a hybrid vehicle is that the battery can only be charged when the engine runs. And so there are people who are now, there are three companies now that provide conversion kits, and they will do the conversions, which will do two things. One, literally put a socket in, a plug-in, to the car so it can plug into the household electric system, and increases the battery's capacity so you can travel only on electricity for about 20 miles. And 20 miles is the average amount that we travel every day, and every trip that we take is usually a mile or two, and then we wait for an hour or two, or if we're commuters, we wait for 6 or 7 hours before we get back in the car, so we could certainly recharge it. So the plug-in hybrid electric vehicle is coming into the market now, but once again, not with the major car companies. We're hoping that probably Toyota will introduce one in 12 months. But if I was trying to ask Congress to do something about the our oil addiction, and almost 65% of our oil consumption is for transportation, so we clearly have to focus on the transportation sector, I would ask it to do two things. One is to require that by 2010, all, that is 100% of all new cars sold in this country, be flexible-fueled cars. That is, be cars that can operate on biofuels of some sort or gasoline. And the additional cost, this is according to the car companies, the additional cost of doing that would be between $50 and $100 a car. So it's basically minimal. In fact, there's a bill in Congress to give them $100 a car for them to do this. That would put in place a system that could allow us to be to basically run on biofuels. And the other is to require them to phase in over a longer period of time, because it's a little more costly, maybe a 10-year period, of cars that have a 20-mile electric-only range. And then what you have is a system where probably 60, 75, 80% of the miles that you drive would be on electricity. You would drive on electricity whenever you could, because the cost of traveling on electricity is about a penny a mile versus 10 cents a mile for gasoline or ethanol. But then you'd need your backup engine when your batteries were exhausted, and that might be 20-25% of your miles. And we happen to have enough biomass in this country to provide that 20-25%. We don't have enough biomass in this country to provide 100% replacement for gasoline. So that can be done, and the technologies are available. They're very much nibbling at the edges of the market, and it requires us to say to the car companies, we want a car which allows us to travel either on electricity or on biofuels, and then we get our choice, and either one will be a virtually oil-free traveling experience.
Yeah, you know, and Dr. Morris, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you know, I don't drive a lot. I have an office in my home. I have a studio in my home. This would be perfect for a guy like me.
Mm-hmm. It certainly would be perfect. I drove in these cars, and I didn't realize that the car that Toyota, I mean, all the car companies complied with the California mandate, but Toyota complied with it with a sort of small SUV. Anybody who might know what I'm talking about, there's a thing called a RAV4, which is a small SUV Toyota that's powered by a gasoline engine, and they converted that to an all-electric vehicle, and it has 120-mile range. 120-mile range, and you could recharge it overnight. Well, people, you know, like you, probably don't drive 100 miles during a week, so that would provide 100% of your driving experience.
Yeah, and again, as more and more people work from home, which is, of course, a huge trend in this company. In fact, I think it was 2 weeks ago in Business Week, I read a great article that because of the price of gasoline, more corporations were allowing people to have satellite offices in their home. I mean, they still have to check in, Dr. Morris, to the office every now and then, but the reality is, A, it saves, you know, on commuter time, B, it saves on gas, and people, as long as they're productive, I mean, working from home isn't always the gift people think it is, but as long as you're productive, I mean, these are the kinds of things, and we're not even thinking outside the box here.
No, we're not, but some people are. I mean, one of the interesting things is the convergence between the information economy and the transportation economy, meaning that you, in fact, can travel by the ether, if you will, you know, rather than by roads. And the Silicon Valley is now getting involved in the transportation economy, and Google is one of those that are in the vanguard. And the Google Corporation, which, as everybody knows, is about to rule the world, the Google Corporation gives people several $1,000s if they buy a hybrid vehicle. They have several plug-in hybrid vehicles, and they probably are soon going to sign an agreement whereby people can get some money, that is, employees can get money if they convert their hybrid cars to plug-in hybrid cars. And Google is one of the financiers of a new company called Tesla Motor Company, and they have come out with their Tesla Roadster, which is not a car for you and me probably, Tony, but it's a $92,000 car, two-seater Roadster, which gets to 0 and 60 in less than 4 seconds and is comparable to a Porsche or a Corvette or a Ferrari and will beat them on the straightaway or especially on the corners because of the way it handles. And they have 400 advanced orders in which people have plunked down $30,000 to $50,000 per vehicle advanced non-refundable deposit. Now, I think that within 2 years, the Tesla Roadster, which is not going to be a mass market car, will sell more than the Chevrolet, than the General Motors Corvette will. And they're taking that capital that they're going to gain from that first car, and they will soon break ground. That is, this year they're going to break ground with a factory in Albuquerque, which will be producing up to 20,000 cars per year as of 2010, and will be a family sedan car.
All right, I'm going to have to ask you to hold that thought.
But a family sedan car.
Hold that thought, Dr. David Morris. We have to take a break. Dr. Morris, again, with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. We'll find out a little bit more about that organization on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano in for Peter B. Collins. We're going to take the break. We'll be back right after this.
Nine a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Sundays from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. On AM 540. KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Memorial Day getaway traffic. Let's talk about the latest. We're going to start off with a Hollister Gilroy problem. Injury crash 152 at the Big Cut. And let's see, it looks like a emergency crew is on scene there. They did, left lane blocked. It appeared they had to, they were going to call for a medical helicopter, but it doesn't look like that is the case. Well, let's see, actually that is the case. Four vehicles blocking the left lane. A medical helicopter is en route as of right now. Both directions are very heavy. Morgan Hill, Tennant Avenue. At Hill Road, we have a bus and a car reportedly blocking lanes there. Marina, southbound one at 12th Street. We have a van that ran out of gas. It's blocking the roadway. Hollister, we're looking at Fraser Lake at Road at Shore Road. It's a vehicle that went off the roadway and then collided with a barbed wire fence. CHP's there.
One, two.
Welcome back. It is 9 minutes before the top of the hour. Tony Truppiano back with you. I'm in for Peter B. Collins on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest, Dr. David Morris. Again, he is Vice President of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Somebody had sent a question before we move on to some other alternative technologies. Is there any technology that exists now that can turn a modern car into a hybrid? Is there any kind of conversion kit that would do that?
No.
And that's the answer. The answer is no. Dr. Morris, the reason
for that, I say no, there may be someone who will call in and say, well, wait a minute, I think I can do it. But the problem here is the what they call a controller, which is basically a sort of a computer. And the computer has to talk to all different parts of the car to get it to switch from electricity to the engine and back and so forth in an efficient way. And that's very complex and complicated to do. And so you wouldn't have kind of do-it-yourselfers necessarily doing it. However, there is a kit that should be coming out in the next 3 or 4 months to convert your hybrid into a plug-in hybrid. And that's, although that's not easy, it is for sort of sophisticated do-it-yourselfers, might be out by the end of the summer.
All right. Let's talk, I mean, beyond vehicles. What can we do in our communities? Is solar power, wind power? I mean, what more can we do to make us less reliant on traditional forms of heating our homes and lighting our streets?
Well, one thing is that I work at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. I helped to start it, and the focus is, you know, what can we do from the ground up about many social problems, including energy. And people who are interested can go to the website. It's newrules.org, and it's very content-rich. It gives you a lot of information about a lot of different things, including the question that you asked. But what I would say is that, one should look around us and say, well, you know, what is the energy that might be available to us where we do live, where our houses are? And one of those things is heat under the ground. It's called geothermal heat, which is sort of a highfalutin word for the fact that under the freeze line, which is probably 3 feet under the soil line in Michigan, and maybe a foot under the soil line, in California, the temperature of the soil is maybe 55 to 58 degrees year-round. And what that means is that in the winter, you can heat your home by basically bucking up that 57 degree heat to 67 degrees with a little injection of external energy, as opposed to having to heat your home. I live in Minnesota, as opposed to having to heat your home from 30 below zero to 68 degrees above. So geothermal heat pumps is what they're called, and they come in different kinds, and that is certainly something that one should install, and certainly something that government should require new developments to look at. The other is solar cells on roofs. In fact, California just last year passed a law that said that all new housing developments over a certain size need to orient the roof in such a way that they can be backfitted at some point with solar cells, and they need to offer solar rooftops as an option for people who want to buy those homes. And the reason for that is that if you buy solar cells as part of your home construction or home buying, it's part of a 30-year mortgage at low interest rates, and over 30 years at low interest rates, you can, in many parts of the country now, repay it back from your electricity savings. So there are a number of sources of energy that are available. We haven't even touched on efficiency and the ability to improve the efficiency of the house. The reason I don't talk about that much is I consider that reduction in demand is really boring. What we want to do is to have a piece of the supply. And in fact, what you find out is that if you have a piece of supply, you become much more ingenious about reducing your demand. Anybody who has a recreation vehicle knows that if you have a little bit of electricity available, you get the most efficient little refrigerator. You get the most efficient this, you get the most efficient that, because you're going to be plugging into electricity or using it with an internal generator. So I would prefer that we look around us and see how we can get the most out of our local resources and then make accommodations with our efficiency where we need.
All right, we've got about a minute left, Dr. David Morris. Tell us a little bit about the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. I'd like to know a little bit about your...
Right, it's 33 years old. It started in Washington, D.C., and it now has offices in Portland, Maine, and Washington, D.C., and Minneapolis, Minnesota. We work all around the country. We work with small businesses and city governments and engineering departments and state legislatures, and we are focused on changing the rules. I mean, we are focused on changing public policy, and that means regulations, tax incentives, mandates, laws, zoning codes, and the like, that can really enable people to use their ingenuity to get the most from their local resource base. That's what we do.
Very good. Well, Dr. Morris, I got to tell you, if anybody finds this boring, they just need to talk to you. You make it interesting. No question about that. Now, thank you. Have a nice holiday weekend.
And the same to you.
Thank you, Dr. David Morris. I'm going to try to do as little driving as possible. The website that he had mentioned before, newrules.org, one word, newrules.org. And I know after the show, I'm going to go check that one out as well. Very quickly, before we get to the break, I also want you to check out a new website. Ed Begley Jr. and his partners have put a new website together called fixingtheplanet.com. FixingThePlanet.com. You might want to go check that out. Had a chance to interview the folks over there, Tim Madison, who is one of the partners over at FixingThePlanet.com. It's a great place for greens to hang out, so you may want to go check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break here for the top of the hour. Again, I'm Tony Truppiano. Coming up in the next hour, Brad Friedman will be joining us from Brad Blog, my good friend and a good friend of this program as well, and Peter B. Collins. Again, if you want to join us, we'll give you the number on the other side of the break. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's take the quick break here. I'm Tony Trupiano, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Things have gone from bad to worse in central Texas. Flooding from 2 days of heavy rain has claimed at least five lives and two people are missing. And late today, a tornado was reported in the Killeen area. Dennis Baker of Bell County Emergency Management.
Preliminary damage reports that I'm hearing, there were a couple of apartment complexes were damaged. A nursing or retirement home was damaged and several single-family homes also were impacted.
No word yet on injuries. In Coryell County, Chief Deputy Joe Blakely says the rain has been relentless.
It's turning small streams into, you know, into really dangerous rivers.
And Ted Ryan at the National Weather Service says there's no let-up in sight.
Through the entire holiday week and into early next week, we're looking at continued heavy amounts of rain over central Texas, north Texas, pretty much the San Antonio, Austin, and Waco areas look like they're going to be most under the gun.
In central Kansas, floodwaters are still rising after torrential rain 2 days ago. The White House says President Bush has signed the war funding bill, which won final approval in Congress less than 24 hours ago. A new report from the Senate Intelligence Committee raises questions about the president's decision to invade Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Democrats who now run the Intelligence Committee say the report shows President Bush had plenty of warning about all the things that went wrong in Iraq before he invaded. It says intelligence agencies warned of the difficulty of establishing democracy and of violence between different religious sects, and predicted more money and support for terrorist groups who would then focus on attacking U.S. forces. They also warned Iran could gain influence and Al-Qaeda would regroup in Afghanistan when U.S. focus shifted to Iraq.
Republicans on the panel say the report is distorted. Mr. Bush has said he got a lot of warnings, but still believes Iraq and the world are better off without Saddam Hussein. American highways are crowded despite record-high gasoline prices. In fact, AAA predicts an increase in Memorial Day weekend travel this year. Heather Bosch of station KIRO found a tale of two cities in Seattle.
Many drivers say they'll grin and bear it at the gas pump to travel this holiday weekend.
You got to do what you got to do and just have to pay the price.
We're going. But Jeannie McNerney's family is not among them.
No, not at all. We're not going to do anything except stay at home. Yeah, it's just too expensive to go running around. We really plan our trips right now very carefully.
The average price per gallon of gas here, about $3.43. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
With a gain of 66 points, the Dow closed out the week at 13,507, the NASDAQ 19 points higher at 25.57. The price of oil rose more than a dollar to $65.20 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Excuse me, I have a car reserved under Mitchell.
Black sedan, stall number 13.
Can you tell me how to get to the Palisades Hotel?
I never heard of it. Next!
Navigate a new city like a local with a Garmin Nuvi GPS. Just tap the screen to look up addresses and hotels.
Turn right on Cherry Street.
Hey lady, you want my lucky rabbit's foot?
Garmin, the leader in navigation.
From the crack of dawn to late at night.
cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before, so remember, always buckle up or you will get caught, day and night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The so-called astronaut love triangle has claimed another career. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
In December, he was flying high.
Beamer's in the process now.
But NASA says astronaut and Navy Commander William Oefelein was told Wednesday he was done at the space agency by mutual agreement between NASA and the Navy. Court records show Oefelein was the object of former astronaut Lisa Nowak's affections, but had a new girlfriend, an Air Force captain. Nowak is accused of attacking her at Orlando International Airport in February. She's expected to go to trial for attempted kidnapping and other charges in September. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Just before he was killed in Iraq, Army Specialist Justin Rollins was photographed cuddling a puppy he'd found. His girlfriend later saw the pictures and asked if Rollins' family in New Hampshire could have the dog. A lot of red tape had to be cut, but yesterday the mixed-breed female pup was flown from Iraq and arrived today at her new home. They've named her Hero. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Accord and Pilot models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From May 24th to the 28th, save 30% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save 15% on Duration Home and Duration Exterior Coatings. And save 25% on select wall coverings, too. So hurry in. The Memorial Day sale ends Monday, May 28th. For painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. Please give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive voice from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. Here's Tony Truppiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Truppiano with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. A glorious Friday to all of you. Obviously, the Memorial Day holiday coming up. But we save the best for last. Brad Friedman's going to join us here in just a moment. I want to remind you, if you want to join us during this hour, and I encourage you to do that, toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And emails are always welcome at tony@thetonyshow.com. Because I like to use every second I can to spend with my friend Brad. I'm just going to go right to him. Joining us now, as he does with Peter B. on a weekly basis and me on my show on a weekly basis, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Hey, pal, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. You know, I just kind of sneaked over to the Brad blog since I had dinner a couple hours ago, and you've made a little change since I was last there. Brad, do I get the impression you like Al Gore?
If you get that impression, it's certainly not from me, is it? All I'm asking is, will Al Gore run? I will tell you this. I do like the idea of him running. I think he should be running. I think he should be in the debate. And I think the debate is sorely lacking his voice.
Well,
not
what's
to
interesting,
mention the fact that he should have been president for 8 years by now. But that's really a different topic, isn't it?
Yeah, that really is a different topic, Brad. And just so people understand the running score, and I want to encourage people to go over to bradblog.com and vote. It's pretty simple. Just go there and click your mouse. It's that simple. Right now, the question is, will Al Gore run for president in 08? 49% say yes. 23% say no. And interestingly, 30% don't know.
Actually, and that would be actually votes, not
percent. Oh, those are votes.
So
okay.
I think adds up to more. But, Yeah, well, and it's not to should he run, it's will he run. And what's your opinion on that, Tony?
I think he will run. I think this book was his basically the opening of his campaign.
And what's it going to take? What's the holdup?
Well, I think that I don't know that there's necessarily a holdup. I think it's more a strategy, Brad. You know, he doesn't have to be a candidate until, I would think, you know, September, maybe October of this year at the very latest. And in the process, this, you know, let's be honest about it. Al Gore's making more money than he ever thought he would, and he had a lot of money to begin with.
Right.
And I just think, you know, that he's taking his time, he's positioning himself. I think it's a very clever strategy.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right. And because, like I say, I think his voice needs to be in the debate. I'm not necessarily endorsing him for president right now or anybody else for that matter, because I think it's ridiculously early. I think the idea that we've got these debates going on, I've been pondering, I'll be frank, I think there's a very good possibility for all of this nonsense and these discussions and these debates that are going on right now with these candidates. I think a good case can be made that neither the Democratic nor Republican nominee is actually in the race yet. Now, that's just me, and I've got no evidence to back that up one way or another, but, you know, I wonder if we move the clock 1 year down the road, if we'll find that, you know, all of these debates and discussions right now going on are essentially for naught because the person running in each party is not really announced in the race right now.
Well, I think it's a legitimate question, Brad. We know that Fred Thompson and Newt Gingrich are both considering a run on the Republican side.
Right.
We know that, you know, Al Gore, although he is not committed, he may run. So I don't think that's I think it's quite a legitimate question. Are the people that were, you know, jockeying for position on, and I don't mean you and I jockeying for position on, it may not be one of those folks. There's no question that that's true. It's a very legitimate question.
And I think that all of it underscores, and the time that's even spent, you know, I don't talk much about, I think this may be the only actual blog item that I've had sort of devoted to what will or won't happen in 2008, because I don't generally talk about it, because the fact of the matter is, I think it is currently amongst the least important things that this country right now has to deal with, period. And yet, if you look at the news, it is amongst the most dealt with by the news media. And even Al Gore last night when he was on The Daily Show, was sort of talking about exactly that. And that, this question about, you know, his weight gain and will he run and will he won't. And, of course, Meet the Press. What's his
name?
Tim
Russert.
Thank you. Tim Russert is just absolutely obsessed with who is going to run and win in 2008. He has been for months and months, all the while not bothering to talk about the things that actually matter to this country, whether it's Iraq, whether it's election reform. It's incredible how much time is wasted in the mainstream corporate media on stuff that simply doesn't matter. And to that end, I will add this immigration debate. I think it's a ridiculous debate. I think it's a Republican debate. And once again, these sappy Democrats have fallen into the Republican sand trap by even dealing with this at this point. You know, there is so much more. Our country is on fire right now. This administration needs to be removed from top to bottom. And they're wasting valuable news time focusing on stuff that doesn't matter. Hell, Monica Goodling said out loud in a U.S. House Judiciary oversight hearing this week that vote caging occurred in 2004. Highly illegal. It's a felony. It occurred, and she says that Tim Griffin was in some way involved with it. Tim Griffin was an aide to Karl Rove. She's saying vote caging occurred in 2004 presidential election in the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, the committee that would run any impeachment hearings on the President of the United States, and virtually nobody on that committee brought up, you know, went back to that startling statement she said at the top of her testimony. And I believe almost no mainstream media have even reported her utterance. I find that extraordinary. Well, that just me?
It's disturbing. No, Brad, it's not just extraordinary. It's disturbing. And, you know, and interestingly, I read an article today. The Pew Research Center, you know, it follows television trends amongst many millions of other things. And one of the things that they discovered was that the media has focused on Democratic candidates for the presidency by the tune of 71% over Republicans, 24%. But the hell with all the other stuff. The bottom line to this thing was they're not even focusing on issues. They're focusing on criticism and critiques of candidates.
Yeah, haircuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. And even if this was a sane time in our country, and I think history will bear out that this is one of the most extraordinary periods in the history of our country, even if this was a sane moment, you know, the questions about what we judge our presidents by, or our potential presidents by, and how the media enables this judgment is just, you know, extraordinary to think about. Their haircut. How did they sound? Did they sound presidential? Was Hillary Clinton too screechy? Or, you know, what about their ideas? And interestingly enough, on both sides of the debate, frankly, over on the Republican side, you've got Ron Paul. Over on the Democratic side, you've got Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich. The people who are talking about the most substantive ideas and the things that matter the most to our country are regarded as a joke, an absolute joke by the mainstream media.
Well,
they
Brad,
could never become president. You know, they're just in it for they're the punchline, really, of this entire debate.
Well, Brad, let me share something with you, and I'll have this audio up on my website early next week. I interviewed Mike Gravel today.
Yeah,
I got 40 extraordinary minutes of audio.
Mm-hmm.
I have people writing me and calling the show in tears of joy over hearing a voice of somebody with authority, and Mike Gravel, a former senator from Alaska, all the credentials you'd want to have, speaking truth to power.
Yeah.
You couldn't be more correct, Brad.
Well, and look, if you look at even that Fox News debate they had on the Republicans, they were, you know, the entire day Fox News was talking about this wonderful phone poll they were going to have. Who won the debate? Now, never mind this won or lost nonsense, because that's, you know, doesn't happen in these debates. But they were pounding this thing over and over all day long, all throughout the debate, all throughout the post-debate coverage. Give us a call. Who won the debate? Well, guess what? Ron Paul won hands down. Now, late at night, suddenly that changed, and he fell into second place. Well, the next day on the Fox News website, you could not find a link to that poll. Now, what does it say that Ron Paul, even if he came in second, he was far and away, you know, ahead of the guy who came in third. What does this say about what Americans want and don't want? And, of course, we don't even need to discuss the duplicity of a Fox News that, you know, when they don't get the result that they had hoped for, that they're, you know, quickly able to bury it. I would love, on the bigger picture, and I know you got to get to a break here, but you know, I would love your thoughts, if I might turn the tables on you, as far as when you ran for Congress recently. You know, were you able to deal with the issues, or was the media solely focused on you know, these sort of superficial issues that you see in the presidential race?
Well, I'll answer that when we get back from the break. But before we do this, I thought you'd get a kick out of this, Brad. On The Simpsons last Sunday, they had their 400th episode.
Right.
And there's this scene where Lisa and Bart and the news guy, whatever his name, Kent Brockman, are sitting on Homer's couch, and they're watching Fox News, and Lisa turns to Kent and she says, "Why is it that Fox News is so conservative, yet the Fox network is so raunchy?" And he says, "Lisa, it's just the dirty little secret nobody talks about in the media. The monies that the Fox network pays for that raunch and fines helps to fund the Republican Party."
It was, and they said that on the show?
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah, it was really quite funny. Anyway, Brad Friedman, my guest, bradblog.com. We do have a lot of other information to get to. Brad also has, beyond the poll, he's got a premium offer that I want to share with you before we get out of here today, too. Again, the number, if you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to send an email, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll take a quick break here. I am in for Peter B. Collins. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
This Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet Glenn Plantone, Rock Rollin' Real Estate's own Indiana Jones. Glenn covers all over the world for the best real estate investments, and this week he'll be talking about a condo hotel project in Orlando, Florida. Call him at 702-769-9872. 702-769-9872. That's this Sunday morning at 10, your number one source in real estate investments, Rock Rollin' Real Estate, right here on KRXA 540.
Hey, how about a little Memorial Day getaway traffic? Let's give it to you right now. Pacheco Pass 152 westbound after Dinosaur Point. We have a four-vehicle crash. It's been cleared to the shoulder. Emergency crew is still on scene, and a medical helicopter is also there as well. Traffic is heavy in both directions, as you might imagine. Meanwhile, we're going to take a look at slow traffic out of Gilroy, eastbound 152 between 101 and Dinosaur Point. Obviously, we got that problem there. Just a reminder that we do have a problem working right now on Marina southbound. 1 at 12th, a van ran out of gas blocking the off-ramp there. Hollister, Fraser Lake Road at Shore, a vehicle went off the roadway, collided with barbed wire fence, and the CHP, in fact, is handling that situation. Highway 17 also slow and go in the both directions at this point. This report brought to you by Kaiser Permanente.
Snail mail on ballot advisory. I did indeed, and a bunch of things came up that I have not been able to directly deal with them or even get them posted at Brad Blog. But what Chris is talking about is last week, and thank you for sending that, by the way, Chris. Last week, was it you who actually called into the show last week, Chris?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Chris was given in Monterey County, California, when he went to vote in a special election, he was given a warning
when he had asked for a paper ballot, the Monterey County registrar, I guess, had ordered this warning be given to folks who asked to vote with a paper ballot. And if I had half a brain, I would have brought it up to the office with me before going on the air today, but it's been a hectic day. But basically, it says that the Help America Vote Act requires that we warn you that voting by paper ballot may cause an overvote or an undervote. And it was quite scary, I would say, Chris.
Well, let me say that, you know, with all your efforts and getting me involved in this deal, citizens have been able to change that policy. And they removed the advisory, and they basically just are informing the Monterey County voters that to be careful, to make sure you vote right, correctly, don't overvote, undervote, et cetera, or exactly what those terms are.
That's
so
a great
removed that.
Really, thank you for that. That's a great victory. Actually, it shows how speaking up and how daylight really makes all the difference here. I did check into it, just so you know, Chris, and others know. In fact, Help America Vote Act does require that when using an electronic voting, I'm sorry, when using a paper ballot system, that election officials must have an education program that lets voters know that and I'm reading from the Help America Vote Act here, that notifies each voter of the effect of casting multiple votes for an office. So multiple votes for an office, that would be an overvote. HAVA doesn't say anything about undervoting, and as one expert who I asked about this said, well, HAVA says you're supposed to educate people, not terrify them and intimidate them. And
exactly.
I think pretty clearly that flyer did exactly that, and I did touch base as well with the California Secretary of State, hopefully whatever change there came about because of perhaps pressure that was brought by the Secretary of State, but certainly because of folks like you, Chris, who brought it to the light of day.
Yeah, and I want to thank the Registrar of Voter here in Monterey County for recognizing their over effort and correcting that. So,
well done. Thank you, Chris.
I got a meeting with our SAVE group here, and we're going to try to change things. So thanks again, Brad.
Keep up all the good work you're doing, Chris. It means the world, obviously. It means the world because you've changed the way voters are going to vote in Monterey County.
That's awesome, Brad. I mean, that's a great – you're right. That is a great victory, and congratulations for Chris to stepping up and doing that.
And I'll tell you, Tony, it underscores the fact that, you and I, we've been talking for years now, you know, about what's wrong with our election system. And I think there's this notion out there that, I make the joke tagline on my website that this democracy ain't going to save itself. Well, it's not, and neither is it going to be saved by the media. Neither is it going to be saved by legislation at either the federal or the local level. The only thing that's going to save our democracy is citizens realizing that they own this democracy and that they have to take action to change it. And, that example with Chris in Monterey County is a perfect example of what needs to happen and perfectly underscores why the entire process from top to bottom needs to be transparent, so that the citizens can oversee their election system, not relying on government officials to do it.
Well, I think for those of us that need victories, there is no victory too small. This happens to be a gigantic victory for this community.
It sure does. And congratulations to Chris. And, this is what we see. We see, heroes like that taking these small steps all over the country, and the only time I have ever seen things change is exactly in the case where a citizen takes an action, like with Chris. It doesn't happen if you count on the media or the officials to change their procedures. The bad news is they ain't going to do it. We've got to make them do it, and to that end, we have a responsibility to see that that happens.
Absolutely. Brad, again, I promise I'll get to your question, but we do have to get to the next break.
Yeah, you keep trying to duck that, don't you, Tom?
No, not at all. And but I got to tell you, is there something about inside the Beltway and the name Monica, you know, just one of those things. We're gonna,
another Monica problem.
Yeah, when we're going to talk about that. Great, by the way, great interview at Brad Blog by Greg Pellis, and I want you, everybody, to go there and check it out. Again, Brad's got a premium that we're going to talk about, but let's get to the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll return. A lot more to get to. Again, the number, 888-573-8372. I'm Tony Trupiano in for Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. I'm grateful to my radio buddy and fellow progressive, Tony Truppiano, for sitting in. So give him a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Here he is, Tony Truppiano.
And thank you, Peter B. Peter B. Collins will be back next week. And I appreciate him letting me sit in the big chair. It is a thrill. It truly is a thrill to do this. My guest, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You've got the number if you want to join us. Feel free to do that. All right, Brad. You'd asked me a question 20 minutes ago. I'll answer it.
All right. Good.
When you're a candidate and you're on the stump or you're sitting in those editorial boardrooms doing interviews for the media, they presume an awful lot by your party affiliation. And the questions that get asked to you are based on assumptions. And you got to know that I'm not the kind of guy that plays that kind of game. So they always ended up getting something they didn't expect, if that answers your question.
So were they asking you things like, why, Tony, do you want to cut and run and surrender in Iraq?
Stuff. Absolutely. Like that would be the question that they would ask me. Why do you want to provide amnesty to illegal aliens? You know, why would you want to aid and abet criminals that way?
And did you find that, and knowing you, you didn't answer those questions on their level, or did you have to, or did you find that you were able to turn it around and discuss the real debate as opposed to the phony framing that so many in the quote-unquote liberal media have, you know, basically pass on from the right wing, from the Republican Party?
Brad, I almost always started my answers with, I don't accept your question as asked, so let me rephrase it for you so I can give you the answer you deserve.
That's good to know. And in the coverage then of those interviews and of your, you know, stump speeches and so forth, did you find that the media would tend to deal substantively with the issues you were talking about, or did they deal with superficial issues like
your haircut? I will tell you that they did deal, and of course, as we got into the heated battle of the race, I mean, the last 8-10 weeks. And when my opponent started attacking, I had done so much outreach, Brad, and so much media that I was on record, and I could actually go to these media outlets and say, he said this, you know, because you interviewed me, that's not my position. And more than one paper actually wrote an editorial that said, shame on you, Thad McCotter, for lying about Tony Truppiano. Brad, at the same time, all those papers ended up endorsing my opponent.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
So you felt in general they would give you fair coverage, even if they ended up, for reasons unknown, endorsing the guy who they thought was being duplicitous?
It was fair. Was it always accurate? No. But I would say it was fair. I think I was treated fairly. And you know how critical I am of the media, Brad.
I do, and that's impressive. And do you feel like it was you who had to hold them to that standard to be fair?
You know, the truth is, and everybody needs to understand this, you don't control it. As the candidate, as a spokesperson, you don't control what they report.
Well, you don't, but as you said, because you challenged them on their premises in the first place, and then you followed up later, unless these are cases where they called you to ask for comment, you know, later in that follow-up, you were to say, look, I talked to you about this earlier. You know for a fact that he is not telling the truth, or he's skewing my position and so forth.
Yeah, it allowed me to open those doors where I perhaps couldn't before. You know, the other odd thing that happened, Brad, was that my opponent refused to be seen in the same room with me, which accounted for the one and only quote-unquote debate that we had. But I will tell you that in every setting where he would go first, because they always give, you know, the incumbent the ability to go first, and I had no problem with that, you know, I would get done with whatever, whether it was recording a TV segment or at a town hall meeting, whatever the situation was, to a person, I mean, to a media individual, they would come up to me and say, dude, I hope you win.
Well, let me ask you this, and I hope you don't mind my, like I said, turning the tables a little bit, but we're old friends, and it's Memorial Day weekend, and nobody's listening. They're all out at the beach anyway.
Okay. I don't think Peter would appreciate that, but okay.
So the question is, you've never, this was the first time you ran for office, correct?
Correct. Correct.
And this is for the U.S. Congress. Now, would you, after going through this experience, would you, A, do it again? Not asking you if you will, but would you do it again? And B, would you recommend that other people do it, that other citizens do it who might not otherwise think, oh, me, run for office? That's ridiculous. What are your thoughts on that?
I will not run again, Brad, so we can get that out of the way right now. I will definitively not be running for Congress in my congressional district in 08.
So in 08. You already modified your position, didn't you, Tony?
Well, you know what? In 2010, we're going to have a different district because we redistrict in 2010 all over the country.
So you're leaving the door open for a run in 2010. Is that right, Tony?
If the leadership of my district are not entrenched in the new district, I would consider it.
All right. I've already got that up as a screaming headline with a siren at Brad Blog. So expect your phone to start ringing.
Do I recommend people to Brad? I wouldn't. There's not a moment of that experience that I regret. I don't regret running. I don't regret all the hard work. I don't regret a lot of things. But it also opened my eyes to a new reality. I'm a different kind of Democrat, Brad, than I was when you first met me.
Yeah.
I'm smarter. I'm savvier. I'm wounded. You know, I haven't completely healed from the election yet. I really haven't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our mutual friend Clint Curtis would share these thoughts.
Mm.
And, you know, part of what happens, and I, as you know, I passionately embrace citizen involvement, getting involved either as dog catcher or running for Congress or the presidency, for that matter, I strongly endorse that people do that. But they need to do it with a different mindset than what they think it is. You need to surround yourself with a group of people that no matter what those around you say, believe in you and that you can win. Now, that my core group did. Unfortunately, my district leadership, when they would be asked, and as, in fact, Brad, if you were to make an anonymous call to the chair of my congressional district and say, hey, you know, my name's Bob Smith and I'm considering running, she'll give you the same advice she gives everybody. A Democrat can't win in this district. That's the advice she gives out, Brad.
Good Lord. And, well,
and that's
and
the
no wonder Democrats have so much trouble winning time and time again. It's absolutely incredible, and I can sort of shore that up, certainly after my work last summer down in San Diego when it was revealed that, you know, they were sending these voting machines home on sleepovers and there was a question about the election results. You had the Democrats coming back, and I'm talking about top level. I talked to people at the National Democratic National Committee, you know, on this, and the DCCC, you know, who came back and said, well, we could challenge what happened there in San Diego, but it's a red district, and so Francine Buzzi, she probably lost anyway. I mean, they have, I can't remember who it was now that I saw him. It might have been over at Digby, a blogger, great blogger, by the way, Digby. She said that the Democrats have got to stop with this battered wife syndrome. And I think that really sums up exactly what the way these Democrats seem to operate. Well, we don't deserve any more. We're lucky we have this much.
There's some real truth to that. I was talking to our mutual friend Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America today, and you know the message that he was spreading, and I think it's an important message, and everybody in this audience needs to hear it. If anybody thinks that the passion that Brad and I bring to our work is about the next election, first of all, you got to understand, and Brad, I don't mean to speak for you, but you've never heard Brad say he's a Democrat. You've never heard Brad say he's a Republican. Frankly, it's none of our business what Brad is.
Well, that's right. I'm happy to beat up on the Democrats when I see them misbehaving as much as the Republicans. And I mean, you're certainly a Democrat in that you ran for office as a Democrat. It's not about the parties. I've always said, particularly when dealing with the elections issues, to me, the things that I care about are not issues of right and left. They are issues of right and wrong. And yet, the Democrats so much have this idea, they have internalized, frankly, Karl Rove's red-blue-left-right idea that they are almost incapacitated to act in favor of what is right.
Well,
period.
And frankly, the biggest mistake Democrats make is that they have allowed, and people need to understand historically, conservative Republicans have been molding this party for four decades. The party that we have today was an idea 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And what we need to understand as progressives, and I don't speak for anybody but myself, but what we need to understand for those of you that are progressives in this audience is that what we're building is not about 2008. It's about the rest of our lives.
Indeed. And this comes into, you know, right now we are in the middle of an enormous debate over federal election reform. And Peter and I have talked a great deal about this, this Rush Holtz H.R. 811 election reform bill. And for the most part, they have started from the premise that, oh, geez, we're lucky to get what we can get. We probably won't even get this bill passed anyway. Therefore, we will accept, a huge election reform bill that continues to allow the very same things that have required such an election reform bill in the first place, namely, in this case, allowing for electronic ballots that can never be verified by any human being on a DRE touchscreen system. They begin the debate sort of at that with that premise. And, therefore, it is little wonder that they can get nothing done. And they end up with what we had yesterday, with a bill like they have now, which is, just a bill that fails on several levels for election reform, despite the fact there's almost universal agreement that we need election reform. So you end up with a bill like that, or you end up with what happened yesterday when the Democrats simply folded and said, okay, well, we'll give you all the money you want for your war, and we'll take out all the benchmarks, and we'll take out all the timelines, and we will call it a victory. I mean, they really... I hate to say it because they are currently the only viable alternative to the Republicans, who are just, corrupt beyond belief, like nothing we've ever seen historically. So I also hate to pick on the Democrats, but they don't get it. And, they continue to fail America. And I think it's because of the mindset that they bring to the game from the get-go, that same thing that would lead someone in your district, a Democratic Party leader to say, oh, guess what? Yeah, you can run, but you're never going to win in this district. What the hell kind of thinking is that, Tony?
Well, and Brad, you wouldn't have the success you have. I wouldn't have the success I have. Peter B. Collins wouldn't. We could go on and on. If we accepted the premise that by asking for less, we might get it.
Yeah. And it's really remarkable. I don't know how it changes other than we do exactly what you and I are doing and Peter and everybody else, which is to continue to say what is right over and over again, no matter whether it's popular, no matter whether it's the party line. We've got to speak out about it and then hope that people who are listening within earshot of this show today, at the beach or otherwise, take something and do something with it, make it actionable, do something like Chris and Salinas, who has frankly changed history in Monterey County as far as the way elections will proceed. Those are the only things that have an effect, action.
And before we get to the break here, if Chris is still listening, Brad,
yeah,
that piece of history that he changed, no one can ever take that away from him.
That's right, and no one can ever thank him enough for doing so.
Absolutely. 47 minutes after the hour, I am Tony Trupiano. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is my guest. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll wrap this hour up on the other side. Not too late to join us. 888-573-8372. We'll take the quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services.
In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Conspiracy issues bother you? Want to learn more about a subject of interest? ConspiracyCon.com, the conference, is this Saturday and Sunday at San Jose DoubleTree Inn. 9/11 World Trade Center, International Monetary System. Over 10 controversial lecturers will be speaking. ConspiracyCon.com, San Jose DoubleTree Inn, or call 383-2676 for rideshare. ConspiracyCon.com.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company. Meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day. We're owner-operated and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe. At the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa, come on down, my friends. Just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at a little bit of traffic to tell you about, and we're going to start off in about Pacheco Pass, westbound 152 after Dinosaur Point. Four vehicle crash has been cleared to the right shoulder. Emergency crew still on scene for some reason. They had a medical helicopter that landed as well. They have actually left, which is good news. Heavy traffic on southbound 17 right now, just because of the Memorial Day getaway stuff that you folks need to know about. Let's also tell you that in Aptos, delays possible Saturday and Sunday on Highway 1 at Soquel Drive and other roads leading to Aptos because of the Santa Cruz Blues Festival that will take place from 11 to 7 p.m. So that should be a good time. And don't forget, in Felton, expect delays. Let's see, Highway 9 between the entrance to Henry Cow Park and Graham Hill because of a parade that will begin tomorrow at 9:30 until 11:30. Have a great weekend. That's your traffic.
Welcome back. Jody Trupiano with you on the Peter B. Collins Show, just about 9 minutes before the top of the hour as we get ready to enjoy this Memorial Day weekend. First, before we go any further, in case we run out of time, I want to thank Brian and Katrina for an amazing job today and yesterday. I will be back on Tuesday, Peter B. back on Wednesday. Brad Friedman, my guest from bradblog.com. And Brad, that was, you know, quite a little rant I went on. I felt like, you know, when I was done, I needed to go have a cigarette.
Well, it's good to be back on the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good to be back on the air. It's good to find my voice again. I found myself talking to myself a lot, Brad.
Is that right?
The problem
well, you
is
were
I
on, before you left to run, what, 4 hours a day?
Yeah, I used to do 4 hours a day. And you know, before that, the show I did was 5 hours a day.
So you have been in serious withdrawal for about a year, haven't you?
I have, actually. I have been in serious withdrawal. Listen, before I forget, I want to mention the Palace interview at bradblog.com. Tell us a little bit. I mean, you know, Greg Palast is an amazing journalist, Brad.
Yeah, actually, it's not an interview. It's actually an exclusive article by Greg Palast.
You're right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. He talks about, we'll just start it off with his first sentence, which says, "This Monica revealed something hotter, much hotter, than a stained blue dress." And he was talking, of course, about Monica Goodling and her extraordinary testimony, boy, I think it was Wednesday of this week, in front of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, and some of the admissions she made concerning vote caging, which is essentially the practice of illegally removing voters from the voting rolls back in 2004 by members of the Bush administration. And the email that Greg Palast received that they thought was going to the Bush-Cheney 04 committee, but actually ended up in Greg Palast's mailbox eventually, showing these caging lists that were created. And we've got some of that email at Brad Blog, so you can get an idea that ran with his article. It's got an extraordinary amount of eyeballs over the last 24 hours or so since it was posted. And basically says that, look, this is evidence of a felony by Tim Griffin and Karl Rove. Tim Griffin was Rove's aide at the time. And the evidence is right there calling on Congress to take action and do something about it. You can see some of that evidence at bradblog.com. It's, boy, about three or four articles down. If you scroll down the front page, you'll see Greg Palast's smiling mug there, and get a look at this story. I think it's a rather extraordinary story, and the fact that Congress isn't doing anything about it for the moment is perplexing at best, but we give you a link to take action and do something about it to make sure Congress hears about this and hopefully does do something about it.
As Brad Blog always does, absolutely. Well, you know, Brad, an extraordinary week in so many different ways, whether we're talking about voter fraud, whether we're talking about Democratic leadership. You know, we walk into this Memorial Day weekend having a great deal to think about and certainly much to ponder. You know, I often wonder, and I worry about you, my friend, because I know how hard you work, and I know you don't get much rest, and God knows you could always use more donors at bradblog.com. There's no question you need that. What does keep you going, Brad?
Well, you're right. The donors do help, and you had mentioned earlier, so I'll take the opportunity to mention that you can get a brand-new paperback edition of Mark Crispin Miller's Fooled Again as a premium at Brad Blog. It supports the work that we do. And when I say we, I mostly mean I. So it is, we are run from your donations. That's the only thing that helps us keep going. But you can get this great book with 100 new pages that has a whole bunch of Brad Blog reporting in it, in these new pages that sort of catch folks up on our disintegrating electoral system since 2006. What keeps me going? Great question. I think it is the fact that I feel, frankly, a duty to my country. I go to bed every night with the dog tags that a mother who lost her son in Iraq had given me back in Crawford, Texas, back in 2005 at Camp Casey. Karen Meredith, who I think you know as well.
Yes.
She lost her son in that war for reasons that nobody can figure out, frankly. And, you know, so I'm sort of reminded that I've got that on my bedpost, and it reminds me every night why this needs to be done and the duty that I feel to my country that I have never felt before in my life. And underscoring all of it, it all comes back to our democracy, and we would not be in this war, I'm convinced, if we had an electoral system that was not gamed and broken, perhaps beyond repair. And if I don't do something about it, it's clear to me, you know, from stories that I've reported in so many cases, if I wasn't here doing it, if I didn't tell some of these stories of some of these people and some of these heroes, frankly, around the country, these things wouldn't be told. And, you know, so for good or bad, I feel a duty to do it. So I guess that's the long answer to your short question. What keeps me going?
When did you start Brad Blog?
What's that?
When did you start Brad Blog?
Early 2004, in January of 2004, really as a lark. Certainly not to do what I'm doing here, just for fun, really. I had been working on a different project for about 5 years. That had ended, and it had required me to stay busy week after week, and I took a several months off, a much-deserved, much-needed break, and then was sort of itching for something to do each week, and so I started, my girlfriend said you should start a blog. I said, what the hell is a blog? She explained it to me. I started one and, you know, would post Doonesbury cartoons. Didn't mean to do what I was doing, but once I started seeing what I was seeing and telling people about it, and realizing that if I told people about it, it would make a difference. And people began, Washington Post picked up something I covered just before the election, And I realized, gosh, this does make a difference. Speaking out does make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, we've got to get out of here. Brad, of course, will be back here on the Peter B. Collins Show next Friday, as he is every Friday. Brad, have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks for everything, my friend, and I believe I'll be back on your regular show next Tuesday.
Absolutely. I'll look forward to that as well. I will be back here as well next Tuesday, so folks, like it or not, you're stuck with me one more day. I want to wish all of you a great holiday weekend again. My thanks to Brian and Katrina for all their great work. Peter, proud of you and your family as well. Everybody, have a great holiday, and as always, I ask that you be well.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of stale, syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh, local, liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The war funding bill approved by Congress late yesterday was rushed into print and rushed to President Bush late today. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
The $120 billion measure had to be driven to the president at Camp David for his signature, which he affixed without ceremony. The bill provides funding for U.S. military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan through the end of the fiscal year, September 30th. And as he demanded, the bill contains no timeline for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. It does set benchmarks for progress by the Iraqi government, but if it fails to meet those goals, Mr. Bush has the authority to suspend the penalties that would otherwise be imposed. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Earlier today, Mr. Bush visited war wounded at Bethesda Naval Medical Center. He awarded 5 Purple Hearts. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports there's a new report on what the president was told before he decided to invade Iraq.
The Senate Intelligence Committee, whose earlier report detailed how wrong pre-war intelligence was about WMDs in Iraq, now says they were right about what would happen after a U.S. invasion. This latest report says the CIA warned top administration officials that attacking Iraq would help terrorists raise money and recruit, and that they'd likely attack U.S. forces.
That's Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr back in Iraq after a 4-month absence. He fired up a crowd in Kufa today with a sermon denouncing America and Israel. But he urged his followers not to fight Iraqi security forces and offered an olive branch to Sunni Muslims, saying strength is unity and division is weakness. There's damage to buildings in Killeen, Texas, caused by powerful wind, possibly a tornado. It came from the same weather system that's brought torrential rain and flooding to central Texas, and Ted Ryan at the National Weather Service says the holiday weekend will bring more of the same.
We've got kind of a stuck upper-level low-pressure system, and that's kind of combining with a lot of really deep tropical moisture coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. And that's producing scattered to widespread showers and thunderstorms pretty much over central Texas.
At least 5 people have drowned in floodwaters. 2 others are missing. AAA predicts an increase in Memorial Day weekend travel despite high gasoline prices.